All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you Christmas contraband and ancient tales.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio here till 4 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. You're here, Wild Card Wednesday. And that is any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Get your requests in. We'll play them a little bit later on. And there you go. Coming up, our guest, coming up after 1 o'clock, he's going to be hanging out with us because it's always a blast. Jim Ryan is going to be here. He writes about music and entertainment and all kinds of cool stuff. It's always a blast when he comes in. I got a lot of stuff to talk to him about. He writes for Forbes, Daily Herald, and Chicago Now. And it's time for our visit with Jim Ryan. He'll be live in studio with us. He's in the PPG Paints green room right now, the old great PPG Paints green room. And also we'll play a round of Rock of Ages, a little music trivia happening this morning. Always a good time when Jim is here. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. And stay connected with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcast, because every single second of every single show is podcast, turned into a podcast. And you can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Go to WGNradio.com. Subscribe. It's free, and it will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen to it at your leisure, bro. So that's what's on the show this morning, having a little fun with Jim Ryan. Also, we will play Know Your Onion. And as you know, we're on a little bit late tonight because of the following a late Hawks game. Normally, our show now begins at 11 o'clock, and we go from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. So we started a little bit late. We still do all our regular features, some of which are just earlier now. Like, for instance, Know Your Onion. We used to do that at after the 4:30 news. Now we do it after 3:30. So Know Your Onion is when you call in, and the first two people that call in will be our two contestants that will each play a solo round of Know Your Onion. Know Your Onion is when Tom reads you a newspaper headline, a news headline, and you have to decide whether it's a real headline or whether it's from the fake news newspaper, comedy newspaper, satirical newspaper, The Onion. So all you got to do is say real or onion, and you win. That's how it works. The real news that's happening in the world right now is just so insane that sometimes it's literally really, really hard to figure out whether it's a real newspaper headline or an onion headline. So that's coming up, and we will play the Blackhawks Express, despite the fact that they got killed, and it wasn't a good night. We will, because we always do. The morning after every game, we play the Blackhawks Express, and that'll be coming up a little later. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let me say hello to Tom Hush, my producer. Tom, how are you?
I'm great, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right. You've been watching digging into any movies for the holiday season? Do you watch any holiday stuff?
Well, I'll start doing a little bit of holiday stuff starting next week. I like to start a little bit later than everyone else, but I do like a good holiday movie here and there.
Uh-huh.
Jingle All the Way is a personal favorite.
Oh, my God.
But I will say I watched one of the most insano movies I've ever seen last night.
Okay.
Tammy and the T-Rex.
Oh, you finally got your copy of Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, a beautiful edition from the guys over at Vinegar Syndrome, who just find the strangest movies.
And this
movies
is
of
the uncut
time.
Version,
this
right?
is the gore cut. This is the very bloody, very strange, definitely not safe for kids version of Tammy and the T-Rex.
So you're saying that a movie called Tammy and the T-Rex is strange?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Only a little bit stranger than that one that Whoopi Goldberg did. I think it was like Ted Rex or Teddy Rex.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he was a cop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Do you know a gnome named Norm?
A gnome? Well, gnome?
That's how they pronounce it, even though it's... Do you know a gnome named Norm?
I don't happen to know a gnome named Norm.
You should look that one up.
That'll have to be next.
Your star there is Anthony Michael Hall. That's your star and they actually say that you're supposed to call it a gnome named Norm. And I believe he's a cop. That's his partner or something. And he's got a gnome for a partner.
Well, what really annoys me is that gnome is spelled the traditional way, and then Norm is spelt with a G as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's funny. See, it's comedy.
I guess that's what they're calling it these days.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, what year was this? Did they have a year for that? I'm saying mid-90s?
1990, actually.
Wow, it's that early.
Yeah. Directed by Stan Winston?
Yes, directed by Stan Winston. And he did the effects. He did the he created the gnome.
The gnome.
The gnome named Norm. A gnome named... Maybe it's actually a gnome named Gnorm. I don't remember. I only saw it one time, and it was, 30 years ago or something.
Yeah, it's got a crisp 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Sure.
So,
who else is in it besides Anthony Michael Hall and Norm?
Oh, jeez. Let's take a look. Do they have any? Jerry Orbach?
Wait a minute. Orbach's in it?
Yeah, Robert Zadar. God bless him.
Of course.
The maniac cop
maniac
himself.
Maniac cop, that's right. That guy's got a face.
Yeah.
Something else. What the hell is Jerry Orbach doing in that?
He plays a character called Stan Walton.
Why is he in it?
Sometimes a paycheck's a paycheck.
Yeah, but he's...
I know, he's Jerry Orbach. He's Jerry Orbach.
And at that time,
Law and Order's happening right
then. Yeah, Law and Order was happening then, and he was about a half a year away from Beauty and the Beast being released?
So strange.
What is going on there? Maybe he's friends with Stan Winston.
Oh, I'm sure that Stan, called
in
a few favors.
Jerry, come on, man.
Remember that time I got you out of that thing?
Yeah.
You owe me one.
You owe me. So you got to star in a gnome named Gnorm. So is this Tammy and the T-Rex, is it really, really gory?
It's not the goriest thing I've ever seen, but it's very gory for being a teen romance story about a young girl and her boyfriend whose brain is placed into a T-Rex.
Uh-huh.
But
is it a full-size T-Rex?
It's a full-on T-Rex. And it's actually really competently, animated, and it's all practical. It looks pretty cool. But it does, it has human mannerisms.
Uh-huh.
So because it's got Paul Walker's, it's Paul Walker, one of his earliest roles. He is the love interest, and he gets his brain placed in this T-Rex. And he'll, tap people on the shoulder.
He gets his brain placed into a T-Rex?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he gets, murdered. He gets, beat up and killed. And then,
So they take his brain and they put it in a T-Rex?
Yeah, put it in a T-Rex.
All right.
It's nuts. And but he'll tap people on the shoulder and stuff, uh-huh. And wave and swoon over Denise Richards, who is the titular Tammy.
Denise Richards is Tammy.
Yeah, it's Denise Richards and Paul Walker.
Oh my God,
a match made in heaven.
So, do they explain why is it? Does it take place in modern times? Obviously,
yeah, for the time period. Yeah.
All right. Do they explain where the T-Rex came from?
Yeah, it's created by this mad scientist. It's like both. It's like a machine.
Is it Richard Attenborough?
I wish. If it were Richard Attenborough, I'd be genuinely surprised and excited to see him stoop to this level.
Yeah, but he did make Gandhi.
Another gory fest.
All right. Well, there you go. Tammy and the T-Rex. All right. Put that one on your holiday list, everybody.
It's available in 4K HD as well.
Oh, good. Good, good, so, good.
In eye-bleeding 4K, you can watch Paul Walker as a T-Rex.
And he transferred. Does the T-Rex talk?
It does not.
Oh, okay. It just has his brain. So it's not like he's voiced by Paul Walker.
Not
it's not like suddenly
Paul.
The T-Rex begins speaking like Paul Walker.
No. No. He just is able to, emote, though. He The T-Rex acts like a person.
Uh-huh.
Because it's got Paul Walker's brain in him.
Does he drive a fast car?
Yeah, no.
He doesn't?
No. Right. Although there's probably a world where this is a prequel to a Fast and the Furious movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody could make some sort of connection between that series and Tammy and the T-Rex. All right. Well, there you go.
I'm serious. I think everybody should watch it at least once just to experience it.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. You know, did you know The Masked Singer was on last night? It was a special. It's on again tonight. It's a special two-night event.
It's a two-nighter. Is it? Well, it's probably reaching the end at this point.
Semifinals begin tonight.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about that. I didn't know. And luckily, you know, it's set on my DVR, so it pops up whenever it's on. And I was like, what is Masked Singer doing on Tuesday night?
That's not part of the plan.
Well, I mean, they should have advertised it a little bit better, I think. A special Tuesday night. You think they would have advertised it a little bit more.
Yeah, because you've seen you watch it every week.
I watch it every week.
And you didn't feel any mention of it?
No, well, like I said, the only time I found out about it was when I was checking my DVR, and it was programmed to record last night.
That's weird. Because I always watch it on Hulu the next day.
Well, I watched it. I watched it last night. And I have to say that I was actually kind of surprised by who was unmasked, by who it was. I thought it was somebody else. I don't want to give anything away. But yeah. And I definitely know who at least two of the remaining characters are.
How accurate have you been up to this point?
Okay, not great.
I know early ones are difficult because it's like they give you nothing.
You don't have as many clues. But now you can take all the clues that you've had for the past few weeks and you add them all up. So I know two of them for sure. The leopard is Seal. The leopard is absolutely without question Seal.
Well, and it makes sense, a leopard seal.
And the fox is Wayne Brady.
Really?
I'm convinced. Those are the two that I think. Those are the hunches that I have. And I'll tell you what, the Wayne Brady one. I think I'm 90% sure. 85 to 90% sure that it's Wayne Brady. I am 100% sure that the leopard is Seal. 100%.
That's a pretty big get, I gotta say.
What do you mean?
To get Seal to do the competition. I mean, he's like
a
famous guy.
Yeah. Well, they've had, you know, the person who got unmasked tonight, pretty big purse, pretty big star. Spent a significant amount of time on one of my favorite shows of all time. So yeah, I don't want to give it away in case people might not have even known it aired last night. I had to call my mom. My mom watches Masked Singer every week, and then we usually talk about it afterwards. And my mom doesn't have it. My parents don't have a DVR, so they don't have it like programmed. So I had to call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I just saw that Masked Singer is on tonight. You should probably get ready to watch it. So.
I was the
anyway,
only one.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, only one I caught. The only one I knew who it was the Ladybug.
And who was? I can't remember who the Ladybug was.
The Ladybug was Kelly Osbourne.
Oh, you knew that one?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't get that one.
I was big into the Osbournes.
Oh, so was I. I just didn't. I mean, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I love Kelly Osbourne. The McRib. When she's mocking Jack because it's the McRib is back. So, all right, let's break here. We got a break. We come back. We got a couple of more entertainment stories here. One involving Axe body spray, and one involving a Christmas sweater that had Santa Claus doing cocaine, which is one of my favorite holiday stories, entertainment stories of all time. Quick break, and we're back.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720. Was that our first Wild Card Wednesday request?
Yep.
Okay, who requested that?
That's coming to us from Maria in Crystal Lake.
There you go. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. And that is one, any artist, any song, anything. And we'll have that playing throughout the morning. Jim Ryan is going to join us after the 1 o'clock news. He is a contributor for Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. We always have a blast talking with Jimmy. Hangs out with us. He'll be here for a couple hours at least. And we'll talk music and entertainment and other cool stuff. We'll play a round of Rock of Ages music trivia That's coming up. And also, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. I think people are familiar with Axe body spray. I would imagine. Yes?
Yeah. Uncomfortably so.
How long has Axe body spray been around?
Oh, man. I'd say most of this century. Because when I was in, I'd say about like late elementary school, getting into middle school, they were ramping up the commercials and everything like that. It was really popular with guys of my age.
Really?
Yeah. So much so that like if you walked into the boys' locker room when I was in middle school, it just reeked of Axe body spray, every flavor, every scent, every whatever.
God.
If you lit a match, the entire thing would have gone up in flames.
I've never used it ever. This is a story out of Florida that it wasn't the Axe effect the body spray company intended when a Florida middle school student's pungent mist prompted a school bus evacuation. This happened on Monday. The bus was carrying students from Buffalo Creek Middle School when at least one of the children discharged an excessive amount of Axe body spray. It's kind of an even grosser way of describing it. He discharged an excessive amount of Axe body spray. Doesn't that sound like even more repulsive than it already is?
Yeah, the use of the word discharge is always a little bit dicey.
Yeah. So anyway, this kid, I guess, did what you said happened when you were in middle school. So it's a middle school thing? Because the commercials, all the commercials are like D-bags in their 20s, right?
Well, that's the weird thing, is that when you're in middle school and you don't really know, you know, things are changing all the time, you're becoming a young man, you look up to what a guy in their 20-somethings might do or smell like or wear, so... As much as it was marketed towards the older gentleman, it was also marketed towards kids who want to be all like right. cool guys.
Okay. So there was an excessive amount of Axe body spray discharged on this school bus. Authorities believe the incident was a prank. 30 Manatee County children were escorted off the bus, 15 of whom were treated for mild respiratory irritation and released, according to parish fire district officials. There were at least 4 ambulances and fire vehicles that showed up. And a second driver met the evacuated students to help them get home. That's crazy. They had the fire department and ambulances? How much Axe body spray was discharged?
It's like a chemical attack.
But I mean, how much Axe body spray do you have to discharge for 4 ambulances and fire vehicles to show up?
I'm going to guess at least a few cans.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Something tells me this kid just went full John Woo dual wielding Axe cans and filled the bus.
So there you go. This is all kind of news to me because I just assumed that the target customer for Axe body spray is a douchebag in his 20s. That's what I assumed.
It's douchebags who are 13.
So, all right. So, I can't imagine how much Axe body spray that had to be. Seriously, 4 ambulances and fire vehicles showed up. 30 kids had to be taken off the bus. 15 were treated for mild respiratory irritation. I mean, it had to be like a John Carpenter movie in there, man. It was just, I mean, a giant, thick, can't see a foot in front of you fog bank of Axe body spray. You ever notice people who put too much like cologne on?
Oh yeah.
Or too much like a woman who puts too much perfume on or anything?
It's offensive.
It is.
And don't get me wrong, I like a little cologne. I only wear cologne to like special occasions or anything, but a little goes a long way, gentlemen.
I do not wear cologne.
No?
I don't know if I've ever worn cologne. The only smell that you'll smell on me is deodorant. That's it. I don't know if I, maybe when I was like 18 or 19, I tried some cologne out.
A little Dracar Noir on the neck.
Something, yeah. But it's just, it's not, that's not, you know, it's just the only smell is going to be my smell and whatever deodorant I'm using.
Just try a little musk.
I'm not going to try any of that crap.
No musk?
No. No. Okay, so in other pop culture news, in addition to kids spraying 55,000 tons of Axe body spray on a school bus, causing emergency vehicles and ambulances to be called to the scene, one of my favorite stories from the past couple of days is Walmart. They will no longer allow us to enjoy its wacky and wild cocaine Santa Claus sweater. Which, by the way, the cocaine Santa Claus sweater was actually my picture on Facebook for 24 hours. I always change my picture on Facebook every day, right around this time usually, right before I go on the air, I change it. And for 24 hours, I had the cocaine Santa Claus sweater as my picture on Facebook because I think it's hilarious. In the long pop culture tradition of Santa Claus doing inappropriate things like peeing himself between hearing children's wish lists, that's from Bad Santa, murdering innocent people in any number of holiday-themed slashers, a sweater showing the jolly old fellow racking up a few lines of cocaine hardly seems like a very big deal. Yet, all the same, Walmart Canada, the cowards, have decided to put this, by the way, this is written by the AV Club, so it's written, you know, with a little snark. I decided to pull a recently discovered clothing item that depicts St. Nick's getting geared up for a long night of delivering presents and chatting the reindeer's ears off. I'm going to sneeze here. Man, and my allergies have been a little crazy today. Is that a
kind of... It's in the air. It's happened to me this morning, too.
My eyes been watery and I've been sneezing a lot?
Yep.
You'd think that the cold air would be, you know what I mean? It would kill everything that could possibly make you sneeze and go nuts. My eyes have been a little watery and itchy. I've been blowing my nose and sneezing a lot. So if I have to turn the mic off a couple of times to blow my schnoz or sneeze. The sweater's description must have provided a belabored copywriter with at least a few short moments of workaday fun. You can say the best snow come from South America. That's one way of describing it. Which is so far from the North Pole that Santa really likes to savor the moment when he gets his hands on it. He packs it in perfect lines on his coffee table, takes a big whiff, and it's exactly what he needs to get inspired for Christmas Eve. On Saturday, Walmart Canada issued a statement to Global News that the sweater was created by a third-party seller and does not represent Walmart's values. The sweater was removed. So it points out that the global article mentioned a number of other similarly cool sweaters showing Santa doing stuff like standing pantsless in front of a warm fire to warm his chestnuts. One where with an upside down snowman positioned so it looks like his carrot nose and jingle bells are suggestive genitals. I find this endlessly amusing because I'm 9. We have a segment on this show called Straight Out of Context. And this stuff kills me. Like, as soon as I saw the picture, I put it right on my Facebook page. As soon as I saw the picture of the Santa with a straw in one hand getting ready to do lines of coke. Let's see. Here's taxi driver Bob. Bob, go ahead.
I'm in total agreement with the humor, age 9 humor.
Yeah.
I'm totally like that myself. I love laughing at the most simplest childish things. But anyways, I used to work in the plumbing supply business, and there used to be a lady that worked in the office there that not only wore a lot of perfume, but she did not take baths.
Oh, God.
There was underlying horrible, smelly odor trying to cover it up with perfume. It would just stain your nose for hours, and it was just horrific.
That sounds horrific, Bob. Thank you for the call, because we've got to hit the news here. And then after the news, Jim Ryan's going to join us. He's in the PPG Paints green room right now. We'll get him in here, and we're going to talk music and much, much more. On the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged, all laced and bugged, all twisted, wrong beat. Uncomfortable. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. I'm your weekday overnight dude, starting late night at 11 p.m. and going through 4 a.m. We hear a simulcast of our good friends over at Bradley Place at 4 o'clock from the WGN Early Morning News TV show. And that's always a blast. And then Steve Cochran is on at 5. It is Wildcard Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday, that means any artist, any song, anything. I can't remember. Well, by the way, let me just say hello to Jim Ryan. Jim, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
Real good. We'll get the background on Jim here in a second. He writes about music and stuff like that and interviews and concerts and all that cool stuff for Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now, and all that cool stuff. And he joins us usually once a month. We'll play a round of Rock of Ages music trivia as well. Who was that band?
Yeah, why are...
Len?
Why are we hearing Len? I'm like, okay.
Len?
Len.
L-E-N?
L-E-N.
Tis the season where your sunshine has been stolen, I suppose. But...
Well, no, I mean, it's requests from the audience.
Ah, yes.
Because it's Wild Card Wednesday. It's any artist, any song, anything. What year was that? It was like 98?
99. Yeah. 20 years ago.
All right. Who requested Len?
That's coming to us from Mike in Old Irving Park.
Come on, Mike. I'm trying to remember the video. Does anybody remember the video to this song?
Yeah, they're all in scooters, and it's like a guy and a girl who you thought were in a relationship, but turns out they're their brother and sister.
Okay, now that's
like
creepy.
Very uncomfortable. Yeah,
it's a little creepy. I saw them play that once at Yahtzee's.
Wait. Okay, you officially just killed Tom. He almost fell off the chair laughing.
How the mighty have fallen.
Wait. What are you talking about?
It was
you were
Cubs opening thing, broadcast thing.
And Len played
there?
And
Len was there, yeah.
And they played...
They played that.
Steal My Sunshine?
Do they have other songs?
I don't think so.
They played that.
Killed it,
by the way.
Sure. Yaxies, that's what I think of. When I want to see music, when I want to go to a good music venue, I go to Yaxies in Wrigleyville.
There you go.
It was for a Cubs opening day?
Yeah.
Was it a radio station sponsor?
Yeah, it was a channel on the FM dial, yeah.
So it was like an FM rock station or something? Or a
kind of,
pop?
Yeah.
Was Len Casper there?
He was there.
Oh, he was. Did he introduce them? Did he say, hey, I'm Len. This is Len.
This is also Len. They rock, too.
Yaxies. God, wasn't the Yaxies in the basement?
No, this was the one. That was the one on Diversity. This is the one.
Oh, right. This is the one. It's right across from Wrigley. Right. Yeah. Okay. The Yaxies that I had visited a couple of times was in the basement.
I don't think that's there anymore.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a big Yaxies guy when I was a drinker. That wasn't the kind of bar I used to go to.
Well, that's I believe, you know, I'm not speaking from experience, of course. I believe that was a 4 a.m. bar, so that's kind of more
it is a 4 a.m. bar.
You would wind up, not the place
That's the only time I was ever there.
Like, well, what are our options? Well, it's quarter to four. They're limited.
Okay. Hey, by the way, I don't know why this happens all the time. My computer is restarting again.
Woo.
What do they have to do? I don't understand why this happens so often. I love the fact that it happens at 1 o'clock in the morning, too. Like, when I'm on the air, all of a sudden my computer goes off.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Well, anyway, it's going to be updating for a little while.
Perfect.
Yeah, Yaxies.
Mm-hmm.
See, the bar that I used to go to in Wrigleyville was Wrigleyville Tap.
Okay.
Which is now...
I was going to say, I don't even know what that is
No, it's gone. It was right next to the... It was next to the Metro.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it is now. It's like an Irish... I think it's an Irish... Well, I don't know. I haven't been in that... I don't hang out in that area. But that's the bar that I used to go to all the time, was Wrigleyville Tap.
I don't even recognize that area.
Yeah. No, I don't either. And I grew up there.
I haven't been to many Cubs games in the last couple seasons, so it's to the point now when I step off that Clark bus to go to Metro or something, I'm like, okay.
This looks weird.
There's more high-rises now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I haven't been to a Cub game in a long time, but I saw Pearl Jam twice.
Right. That's usually when I wind up at Wrigley's, because it's been concerts the last 2 years.
Hey, man, Def Leppard.
Def Leppard, timely again.
Was it Poison?
There's all kinds of
Motley
bands,
Crue,
Nick.
Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard, and then for some reason, Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Why is Joan Jett on that bill? Because she's, like, legitimately awesome.
Yeah, I know.
And the other guys are funny. Man,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you ever see Motley Crue?
So Motley Crue's the one on that bill I've never seen.
Oh, you got to go.
So you do want to go.
No, you got to see Motley. Well, I mean,
especially Vince Neil.
He's like 500 pounds now.
He looks like Jabba the Hutt, and he's become a total character of himself, which actually makes it a more appealing thing for me.
Motley Crue is great live.
Okay.
They're great. I mean,
Myers looks like he could.
It's been a while since I've seen him. Let me just say this. I saw him in their heyday on the Theater of Blood. What was it called? Theater of Pain. Theater Blood's a Vincent Price movie that I adore. No, Theater of Pain. I saw him on that tour at the height.
Okay.
When Tommy Lee was in the drum kit, the album
cover with the two masks.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yes. The album, you know, he would do a 20-minute drum solo.
Yeah.
And his riser would go
upside
up.
Upside down.
It would come out and spin around upside down right over the crowd.
Yeah.
And they were great. They'd get pyro, all kinds of crap. Now, I haven't seen them in a while. I mean, I saw them after their heyday. I saw them about 20 years ago, which was after their heyday.
I think the show may depend on those effects today.
But, so there's a Wrigley. Is that the only concert that's been announced for Wrigley?
No, there's been a couple. I think Maroon 5 got announced.
There's all kinds of really bad ones so far. Wait. Can Maroon 5 sell out Wrigley Field?
We're going to find out.
I'm going to say probably.
Come on.
That is
seriously
a little scary. Well, because of his involvement on The Voice. Never
or that
discount.
Fantastic Super Bowl halftime show.
Right. Yes.
By the way, Jim, tell everybody who you are so that they know. You're a regular on the show, and for people who are like maybe new to the segment, Jim's a writer.
I am.
And you used to do traffic right here on this station.
I did.
Every once in a while. And now you write about music, you go to concerts, and you interview musicians, and you write about entertainment and all that cool stuff. And then you don't have to do traffic. Right. So yeah. How long have you been doing that kind of stuff?
Since the late 90s, since through college, and then professionally probably since like 06, something like that.
Right.
Sounds right.
And we always just riff when Jim's here.
We make fun of stuff.
We just make fun of stuff and have a good time and end up playing a game called Rock of Ages.
It's always nice to see Def Leppard timely, too.
Yeah, Def Leppard timely. Hall of Fame members, Def Leppard. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure are.
So who else was it? Do you know who else is with the concert number? Is Maroon 5? That can't be just them on the bill, right?
Well,
there's got to be some other douchebag bands, right?
I know. There was somebody good on there. There was a good opener.
Okay. Because they're not going to... By themselves, Maroon 5 can't sell out Wrigley Field.
Might have been...
They can't. I will not believe that. I will not believe that Maroon 5
Leon
can sell
Bridges.
Out...
Leon Bridges is opening.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Leon Bridges and Meghan Trainor.
Yeah. Well, what is Leon Bridges doing on that?
I know.
It's like Joan Jett.
It's like, yeah, we need something good. Legitimately good. We need an actual musician.
Oh, that's
not
just...
some clown who's going to stand there and drink heavy.
Tattoos all over him.
Yeah.
Well, lest we forget that Weezer, Green Day, and I think Fall Out Boy are
going to...
That's
the other one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Weezer.
Weezer, Green Day, and Fall Out Boy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, Green Day's got to be headlining, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They have to be.
And they've been doing... Are we at 25 years on Dookie, I think?
It's got to be. Yeah,
it's
got to
be. 94.
It's got to be.
So they're,
it's got to be.
I don't know. I don't think they're doing it in full or anything, but they've been promoting the heck out of that anniversary, so I would imagine the set list will be heavy on that.
I would imagine so. Alanis Morissette announced her...
I love that. That's one of the greatest...
Now,
that's such a great
deal. Do you know where she's playing in Chicago?
Tinley.
Oh, man.
But did you see who else is on the bill?
Oh, it's great. It's
Liz Phair
and...
Garbage.
And Garbage.
That's so good.
Yeah, no, that's a great lineup.
That might be the best of the summer.
That is just 90s. Oh, that is so 90s.
And Alanis is doing... she's doing that album.
Jagged Little Pill, because it's a Broadway show.
Is it really?
Did you know?
I did
know
not
this?
Know this.
It just opened. Did you know that? Jagged Little Pill is a Broadway show. That's why she's been promoting it. She's been on talk shows and stuff. She was on Kimmel the other night, and she was in... On Colbert.
Wow.
I wonder who plays Dave Coulier.
Yeah, but it's based on it's an actual narrative. So they've taken Jagged Little Pill and they've written a narrative around it, like a narrative book around it.
So they've kind of done a little like Across the Universe or what they did with American Idiot.
Yeah, well, it's probably what they did with American Idiot.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. But it's all, you know, she was a consultant on it because obviously it's semi-autobiographical to stuff that happened in her life. And it just opened. It just opened on Broadway. I don't know what the reviews are. I don't know if we can maybe dig up a review or two of Jagged Little Pill. But it's now a Broadway show. It's on Broadway right now. Just opened.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. You know, I didn't like Alanis Morissette when that song.
That was the same way. I've come around to her in the last 20 years, but in the 90s, I didn't care.
I didn't care either. And you know what? Working in a bar with Jagged Little Pill on the jukebox, and any time there was a woman in their 20s, that's all I'd hear all night. And it drove me nuts. And then over the years, I began to like Alanis Morissette. And I began to like her.
Yeah. No, it was songs. Well, I liked Ironic. I enjoyed Ironic. But it was songs after that album.
Me too.
You made a face when I said I liked Ironic, by the way.
I caught that. I can't stand that song. But it's... No. It's the stuff that came after Jagged Little Pill. And I go back. Jagged Little Pill's got some stuff on it that's okay. But it's stuff she did after that I find most interesting.
Yeah, same here.
Like, I like Thank You. I think Thank You's a great song.
It is.
I think the video's awesome. And I love the song she did for City of Angels. Uninvited.
The song Uninvited? Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other stuff that she's done in the past that I like. And I genuinely like her now. She was on with Fallon promoting the play.
Okay.
And they did one of those things where they're in disguise in the subway.
Oh, yeah, she was busking.
And
they
were playing, you know, like a song, and everybody was around, and they were probably kind of being annoying, and then they busted into You Oughta Know.
And people started,
but they were still, but they were still like in disguise. But she starts belting "You Ought to Know," and everybody was like, "Wait, it's Alanis Morissette." And then, of course, Jimmy Kimmel had to be in the spotlight too,
right?
Jackass. All right, let's take a break, and we'll talk more about Alanis Morissette. I don't know. Jim Ryan is here. We got a lot of stuff. He's written a lot of things. He's been to a lot of shows, and we're going to talk about that and more. And we'll play some music trivia too. But we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, the crying all the time.
Yeah. Hey, that's Elvis. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio. Coming up after 3:30, it's time for another edition of Know Your Onion. That's where Tom will read you a news headline, and you have to guess whether it is real or from The Onion. We'll take two first callers. They will play the round, and nobody goes home empty-handed. We have a Blackhawks Express to play later, too. But right now, we're visiting with Jim Ryan. Contributor to Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. He writes about music and entertainment and all that stuff. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Who requested the Elvis?
That's coming to us from Sam.
Sam. All right, on Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. All right, Jim, welcome back.
Thank you.
So they didn't have any concerts at Wrigley last?
The Dead. I think the Dead was the only one. Yeah.
But they're making up for it now.
Oh, well, yeah.
So they're going to have like nine...
In terms of bookings, maybe not quality.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, in terms of bookings, exactly. So did we find out who's opening for Maroon 5? We did, didn't we?
Leon Bridges and Meghan Trainor.
Leon Bridges and Meghan Trainor.
By the way, the name of that Fall Out Boy Weezer Green Day tour is the Hella Mega Tour.
Oh, man.
If that makes you more or less excited about attending it.
Oh, man. Wow. So before the break, we were talking about, because we've been talking about the tours that are coming around, Alanis Morissette and these anniversary tours. So Jagged Little Pill is 25 years old, which makes me feel like I'm 90.
I know. Same here.
So Jagged Little Pill is 25 years old, and Alanis Morissette is going on tour to celebrate the Jagged Little Pill. She's going on tour with Garbage and with Liz Phair.
Fantastic.
Which I think is pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
Except that they're playing
the
World or whatever the hell it's called.
Which would you rather go to, the World or Northerly Island?
World.
Okay.
It's harder to get to
if you leave from downtown in the middle of rush hour, sometimes it's quicker to get to Tinley Park.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Said the ex-traffic guy.
I can't stand Northerly Island.
Me neither.
And we've talked about it many times. But anyway, the Jagged Little Pill is 25 years old, and it's actually on Broadway. It's a play, and the New York Times gave it a rave.
Wow,
I'm looking at it right now. Diablo Cody,
that's wonderful.
Who wrote Juno and who wrote Young Adult and Tully? We won't talk about Jennifer's Body, but she wrote the book based on the real life of Alanis Morissette. And it's all the music from the album.
So wait, so this is does this mean we get a you can't do that on television reference? Probably, because that's wonderful.
I would
imagine. Is there a sliming taking place during this production?
Yeah. So it says the problem with most jukebox musicals is the juke. It's not the juke. It's the box. The tunes are fine, but they rarely match the container that someone is trying to jam them into, which makes sense.
Sure.
Commercial pop and musical theater have different kinds of tales to tell and different tools in telling them. So it's easy to imagine all the ways that Jagged Little Pill could have gone wrong. Based on the material from Alanis Morissette's 1995 mega hit album and several of its follow-ups, it could have wound up in a bio-musical straitjacket or with a story that's too light for the songs Furious Intelligence and Too Broad for Broadway. When I saw Jagged Little Pill last year at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Mass., I worried that it was falling into the too broad category. The script by Juno screenwriter Diablo Cody deliberately aimed it to incorporate as many pressing concerns as it could: rape culture, racism, addiction, adoption, homophobia, global warming, overparenting, underparenting. Those were a few of the themes that were dramatized.
Okay.
The great news for Jagged Little Pill now and for us is that its creative team, led by director Diana Paulus, did more than just fiddle with a show that was too blurry, although entertaining. The overhauled version that opened on Thursday at the Broadhurst Theater is fully in focus, clear in its priorities, rich in character, sincere without syrup, rousing and real.
That sounds okay.
Yeah. So there it is. She seemed excited about it when she was on the talk shows.
As she should.
Yeah.
This is this is the highest her profile's been in quite a while.
In a long time. Yeah.
It's in a long dogma. Time.
As in dogma.
Wow. Okay.
Dogma.
She was what, God?
She was God in Dogma.
She's great.
She, I think, since has had a couple of kids and settled down and all that stuff. I mean, she's in her 40s now, right?
Might be north of there.
Yeah. She's got to be in her late, I would say late 40s.
We're talking, wait,
she's 45.
So wait, we're 20, 45. Yeah, okay, we're
25. Years she, no, that's no, right. I mean, that makes sense. That she was young. Right. She was young when Jagged Little Pill came
and
out.
That's 25 years. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
So, so the 25th anniversary, and then what are some of the other anniversaries? Now, recently, this is a thing now. We talk about this all the time.
It was a thing, and then it was kind of ceased to be a thing for a bit, but boy, it's sure back this summer, it seems like.
Yeah.
The other big one's the Black Crowes.
Oh, you know what? Have we talked since they made their appearance on Howard?
I think I have not talked to you about the appearance on Howard. We made fun of that photo, press photo.
They sounded great.
Yeah,
on Stern. They sounded great.
You know, people are frustrated that it's not the original members.
Yeah.
But the Black Crowes also had that kind of thing going the whole time where it was always people getting shuffled
kind
in and out.
Kind of in flux. They were kind of in flux.
The tickets are not cheap. Doesn't look like it's selling real well at the moment.
Are they playing? Where have they announced where they're playing in Chicago?
Yes, they have.
Tinley.
Yes, it is. Tinley Park. And it's... There are pavilion seats, not even at the front. They're like $165.
Face?
Yeah, they were doing a Black Friday sale where everything was 30% off, so I know it's not selling.
$165 face?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's a cash grab, and we knew that from the second this tour was announced.
Of course. But really? You're going to price it at $165?
This is one you wait and you buy on StubHub the day of the show.
Yeah.
At a dramatic discount.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, well... All right,
but Black Crowes. Rich.
Is there anybody touring with them? Have they announced
any openers yet, no.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, they may not want to pay openers. Who knows?
Yeah, well,
they may have to,
$165 a ticket.
Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't pay $165 to see the Black Crowes.
Have you read any of the interviews with their original drummer, Steve Gorman, who actually was there for the whole thing? There were a lot of different members in and out, but
no,
he was,
I think we've talked about it.
He wrote a book, and he has gone out of his way to blast the two of them at every turn, and he is just going scorched earth.
Is he really?
And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
He tells a story about why the Jimmy Page Black Crowes thing didn't work, didn't last longer, why dates that were scheduled got canceled, and apparently Rich snubbed Jimmy early, and Jimmy was so furious that he just called the whole thing off.
Wait a minute.
He wanted to write with him, Rich blew him off.
Wait a minute. He blew off Jimmy Page?
Yes. And then Page got so mad, he jettisoned the dates.
You know, listen, man. What is wrong?
Yeah,
you do not,
these two guys.
You do not blow off Jimmy Page.
that was kind of his whole point in all these stories. He's like, don't put the blame squarely on Chris. Don't put the blame squarely on Rich. There's plenty.
Kind of a combination of the two.
Those two guys in ego and money.
I'm stunned by that.
Yeah.
I'm stunned by that. That's Jimmy Page, man.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get the opportunity and the honor of playing with Jimmy Page.
And this was in like 99, 2000. We're not talking the Black Crowes at the height of the Black Crowes power.
Right.
By 99, 2000, they were already,
headed
on the downward.
Right.
And still, what would have happened at the height? But they were famous for this stuff, didn't they? They got kicked off the Aerosmith tour for popping off, right?
Yeah.
Legendarily.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. They did. That's right.
They've really never cared.
No, they haven't. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
God. All right. Well, let's get to some of the stuff that you have been seeing and writing about. You haven't, the piece is not out yet, but you saw Los Lobos the other night.
Oh my gosh, yes.
At City Wine. That's got to be a great place to see them.
Yeah, they played last night as well. It's their 8th annual City Winery Winter Residency.
They've been doing it for 8 years
now?
Yeah,
3 nights this year. And man, I looked at the set list after the first night and then went the second, and they came on 10 after 8 and they were wrapping up a little after 10:30, so 2.5 hours, and the set list were radically different.
That's
from night
cool.
one and night two.
I've only seen Los Lobos once.
This was the first full set I'd seen them do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They're great.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. And they're quietly popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're kind of under the radar a little bit.
I think
but
this
they've
is
got
a good.
I mean, I have a friend who is a ridiculous Los Lobos fan.
Okay.
Like he's seen them. I can't even tell you how many times he's seen them. They're one of his favorite bands of all time. He's the one who was like, you got to see him at least once. You got to see him at least once. I went with him to see him, and I was like, these guys are great.
The first set was largely acoustic, not entirely. The second set, then they came out and rocked it, and everything was electric. They're bouncing back and forth from Spanish language stuff to English language stuff. They have a new Christmas album out, so they worked in some cuts from that. I mean,
are the Christmas songs all original?
There's two original tracks on the album, and then they actually
like traditional stuff they do.
Yeah. So this was I talked to Stephen Louie from Los Lobos before the show, and I think there tends to be an assumption amongst fans when you see a Christmas collection like this hit, you know, at the end of the year that, you know, they're just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of thought put into it. They hired two people to curate. To put together a list of songs from which they could choose songs from Central America, from Latin America, North and South America, and they culled this collection of 12 songs down from 160.
Wow.
So they went, and these are we're not talking like Frosty the Snowman. These are largely songs that have flown under the radar, especially here.
Yeah.
That they're kind of trying to shine a light on.
That's great.
So the way they described it was just it's one thing, you know, in this 45-year history of theirs that they hadn't done, which actually makes it kind of exciting for them.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, obviously, you know, doing it the way they did it and narrowing it down to 12 from 160, it's clearly not just, let's do a Christmas album.
Right.
Let's record Jingle Bell Rock and make some money.
Right.
So, oh, that's cool.
Every review I read of this, and I think this tells you everything you need to know about that album, everyone said this in a different way, basically the gist being, it doesn't sound like a Christmas album, it sounds like a Los Lobos album.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think is the highest compliment you could really pay something like that,
yeah.
From them especially.
Yeah, yeah. And how'd the interview go?
They were, those guys were great. Louis in particular, one of the co-founding members, they recorded this, by the way, I think for the first time in the band's history. They actually went back to East L.A., and found a little studio and recorded there. So, in addition to all this other stuff that's new, they're revisiting the old neighborhood. They said that this was actually a really fun record to make. And it comes through in the songs. That it sounds like they were having fun. It's really good.
Is this a big tour for them?
Yeah. A long
one?
Those first 3 nights at City Winery this week, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, kicked off the tour. They launched it in Chicago, and then they're going, I think, through January, beginning of February.
And are they playing, I mean, because City Winery is a franchise.
Right. Yeah.
Are they playing City Winery?
Yeah, I think they're doing Nashville, too. They were doing City Winery in several cities.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I said to him, you know, at the end, I had said to Louis, I said, I think, you know, the holidays can be a difficult time for people just in general. You add to that the turbulent times we live in, and it can be, I think, a pretty you know, just difficult season to get through, is an album like this, is music in general, is it just kind of that idea of escape? And he goes, well, yeah, he goes, it kind of is, but we also kind of feel like we should be out there playing punk rock protest songs.
Yeah.
And we're going to do that.
Oh, that's cool, man.
So that could be suspiciously timed in 2020, so I'm looking forward to that, too.
All right, cool. And when will that interview be posted?
That should run next week.
At Forbes?
At Forbes.
Okay, cool. Jim, hang on. Jim Ryan is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking music, and we're talking other stuff, entertainment, and some of the other things that he's seen and written about, and we'll do all that coming up after this. So here it is. Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here, and we're here until 4 a.m., as we are every weekday morning, 11 p.m. late night to 4 a.m. as your overnight show here on WGN. It's Wednesday, and you guys program the music bumps that come back from the news and from the breaks every morning. We have a different theme. This morning, it's Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man. Yeah, Wildcard Wednesday. And that is any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
It's coming to us from the 779, little Slade.
Slade. Good old Slade. So, Jim Ryan is here. Hi, Slade. Jim.
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Slade rules.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Slade myself.
How many bands have covered them?
Everybody.
Like, and done it, and they're always good.
Yeah.
Which speaks to the strength of the original.
Yeah. No, how many covers have there been? That would be, because they were one of the most covered, Slade is one of the most
There's
covered
tons.
Bands. Yeah.
Quiet Riot, Metallica.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they never suck.
No. Slade, good band.
Yep.
Good band. Always good. Have I ever asked you what was the first album you ever bought?
A
lot of people, whenever I have musicians in, I always ask them that.
Okay.
And then they're always like relatively, a lot of people are relatively embarrassed by it.
I can go back. I think, I can tell you the first album I really gravitated to that I would have bought, which was Thriller.
Okay.
For sure, Thriller. But then the first one I bought, I remember buying Cutting Grass and going to the discount records in Midlothian and purchasing the 45 for Fallen Angel by Poison. Cheap Trick's cover of Don't Be Cruel is very early on too. I had that 45. I was doing the 45s.
You were doing the 45s. So you saved up money to get the Poison 45
and Cheap Trick.
And Cheap Trick. Okay. All right. Tom, I've asked you, right? You've talked about what your first album was, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in Ireland.
Yeah.
Visiting relatives. And up to that point, CDs were bought for me. My dad used to love to buy me CDs.
Right.
So now that's what I call Music 5, featuring Aaron's Party was a big one. Rush of Blood to the Head by Coldplay, another big one. But the first one I ever bought with my own money was in Ireland. I bought a copy of Pink, Misunderstood.
Right.
Because, the party one, like, coming up with the party.
Yeah,
coming on,
I'm coming up, so you better get this party started.
I was so in love with Pink.
Is that the one with Just Like a Pill?
Like a Pill is on there. That's a great song.
I love Pink.
I do too.
I don't think you should feel embarrassed for buying a Pink record as your first. I think she's awesome. I think on so many levels, as a person, as a role model.
Well, the worst part is, I mean, I had a babysitter, like, and I would sit and listen to my CDs on my CD player, and I had a babysitter that was like, "What are you listening to?" I was like, "Oh, I'm listening to Pink. She's great." He's like, "No, that's dumb. You're
all right."
Yeah. And then he gave
this guy made fun of you. This guy made fun of you. Okay. Yeah.
And then he gave me a copy of Led Zeppelin 1.
Yeah.
He's like, "This is real music."
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
But still, there's legitimacy in Pink. And
totally.
Like, she's awesome.
And especially in the pop world. Yeah, absolutely. There's
always liked her.
Legitimacy,
Always liked her. You know, in that era when you had your Britney Spears, your Christina Aguilaras and stuff like that, she was up far above those people.
I saw her on the tour for that. I was going to Columbia College, and she was doing some surprise concert. It was some car company promotion. And they were just leaving, because this was in 2000? Does that sound right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to Columbia, and there was a stack of flyers in the lobby, just free Pink concert, and we were like, Okay.
Yeah.
We walked over there, and sure enough, they had this little stage set up in Grant Park, and she played to, like, the couple hundred people that showed up and killed it. Did a Janis Joplin cover. Mm-hmm. She did Mercedes. Now I remember, because this was hilarious. She covered the Mercedes song, even though it was a Nissan promotion. That's what it was.
See, another reason why, like, she rules. That's another reason why she's awesome.
I love her.
The thing about it is, like, look, Christina Aguilera's got an amazing voice. There's no question about it. Her material, not so much, but she's got an incredible voice. Britney Spears, no.
Well, hold on there.
No.
Don't tell me that Toxic is not a great track.
I can't.
Have you ever heard the Local H cover of that?
I'd love to.
It's quite wonderful.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? But Pink, at that time, you know, like, that whole Lady Marmalade thing, like, she stood out in that. Like, who else was in there? Christina Aguilera?
I want to say Lil' Kim?
Was it Lil' Kim?
I think Lil' Kim.
Was four women, yeah. Right?
Wasn't there an elder stateswoman part of that as well?
I don't know. But
it wasn't like Shaka Khan, was it?
Pink, Christina Aguilera, Lil' Kim, and Maya.
Oh, and Maya.
Never mind.
Okay. So, but she was the best of that. And so I've always liked her. Yeah. I've always liked her.
No, she's good.
Yeah. So you shouldn't be embarrassed that that's your first album. And also then you got your babysitter to turn you on to Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So that's a good
could have
thing.
Been nicer about it, though.
Yeah, exactly. You're an idiot listening to Pink.
I was like 9.
Yeah.
He's just like, you're dumb.
Here's Enough's Enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should be listening to Winger.
Yeah. Enough's Enough.
Winger?
We were talking about Enough's. I got drunk with Chips Enough. Did you not hear the story?
I don't know that I have.
Okay, so...
This I love been, that you had this to pause been,
this
before
back
you
in
told
19...
it.
Listen, I love the first Enough's Enough. I think... Real Thing or whatever. What the hell is it called? On a New Thing. I think New Thing is a great song.
I like that you looked at Tom like he was going to... Do you know, Tom? Did you...
No.
Were you ready to jump in on that?
I have nothing to say about Enough's Enough.
Well, Chip's Enough, okay?
Yes.
Wild. He still dresses like that. Still got the crazy glasses and the green hair and whatever the hell, makeup and all that stuff. Guy's like 50s. He's in his 50s and he still dresses like that. So... One night, I'm staying at a hotel with my girlfriend. We had won, like, a free night in a hotel or something, so we got into a fight, and we were arguing with each other, and I left the hotel room, and I went down to the hotel bar, and I'm sitting at the bar, and I'm like, yeah, I'm all angry with my girlfriend. Give me a shot in the beer. Suddenly, Chips Enough walks in with, like, 5 chicks and, like, a couple of other guys, and I'm like, hey, it's Chips Enough. This is 91, so... They're popular at this point because the first album came out in, I think, 89.
It did last that long. Okay.
No, they were big. And the video was in constant rotation on MTV.
Constant?
No, seriously, they were in heavy rotation.
Okay.
And maybe it seemed bigger because they're from here.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So he comes in and I'm like, hey, Chips Enough. So I got drunk with Chips Enough. I hung out with Chips Enough and got drunk. And then I go back up to the room. My girlfriend's asleep. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I walk up and I wake her, and I'm like, "Hey, I just drank with Chips Enough." And she's like, "What?" I said, "I just got drunk with Chips Enough, man. I was hanging out with Chips Enough." She's like, "Shut up and go to sleep, moron." You know. And then I went to sleep.
Yeah.
But I partied with Chips Enough. Oh, Enough's Enough.
What a short list that must be.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who can claim that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a big list.
I know. I was kidding around.
I guess. So, anyway. But it was, and they were popular at that time. So, you know.
It might be a stupid question, but is his last name actually Zenuff?
No.
I kind of hoped that he was Mr. Zenuff.
Oh, so it's Z'NUFF? No. That's his real.
Stranger Things have happened.
That's his real last name. Z'NUFF?
It's possible he changed it to that, is it not?
Yeah. And then in his obituary for the New York Times, they'll refer to him as Mr. Zenuff.
Exactly. Just like when they did a review of... I've told you this. You know how in the New York Times, Jim, they refer to everybody as Mr. once they say the full name?
Yes.
So if they're talking about Brad Pitt, and then they say it's Mr. Pitt.
Right.
For the... that's from Seinfeld. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize that there was going to be a Seinfeld reference there. I swear to God, I wasn't going down that route. So anyway, when the movie Fight Club came out, and the New York Times review came out, they referred to Meatloaf as Mr. Loaf for the second part of the review. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break. What are you looking up, Chips Enough?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the last name.
All right. We'll narrow this mystery down. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back after this.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, oh, it was reindeer. My man, I was really good.
This song rules. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Cochran has your morning drive. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So it's a Wild Card Wednesday. Who requested Run DMC?
So that's a little bit of a double request there. We had two people request it.
Oh.
So. Steve and Dino both wanted to hear a little Christmas in Hollis.
Song rules. And it's yet another argument for Die Hard being a Christmas movie, because it's played in Die Hard.
Yeah.
Tom doesn't think Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
You're in that camp, Tom?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
I mean, you can't not call Die Hard a Christmas movie and have Christmas in Hollis be on the soundtrack.
Amen.
Come on now. All right. So let's see. You know, is it the In Excess movie playing at Fathom Events? Is it one of those Fathom Events?
It is one of the Fathom Events one. It hit theaters 2 days ago on the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite wonderful. Did you watch it back in the day live at Wembley?
I did not, no.
It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, that was at the height of their. This was in 91.
This was literally at the height, because it was downhill after the X album.
Yeah. And it says here, July 13th, 1991.
Yeah.
And obviously, at that point, In Excess could sell out Wembley.
Wembley, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't the first time they played Wembley, which is pretty crazy. They played Wembley, they opened for Queen.
Oh, man.
They opened for Queen. It was either 1 year or 2 years. I think it was 2 years. Live Aid was 84?
85.
So 1 year. It was 1 year to the day that Queen
played Live Aid
at Live Aid.
So it would be 86 then. It would be July 25th, 1986.
So In Excess opened for Queen 1 year to the day later at Wembley.
Oh, my God.
And got loaves of bread thrown at them, as Tim Ferriss, In Excess guitarist, told me.
Why loaves of bread?
I don't know. I'm like, if I was going to sneak something into a concert to throw at the opening act, loaf of bread's not real high on the list. But that's what he claims happened.
I don't understand. I mean, tomatoes. I know tomatoes. You throw rotten tomatoes or tomatoes.
He said loaves of bread.
Loaves of bread.
That's what he said.
Right. The audience is encouraging to get your carbs. all right. That's weird.
So the In Excess concert then, when they came back and headlined 5 years later in 91, was. I think maybe one day after, but it was almost 5 years to the day of Live Aid.
And so the film, it's out now as part of the Fathom Events
thing? It was a one-night-only thing.
It was a one-night-only, right.
Yeah.
Okay, they did it on the 9th. Well, you interviewed Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I mean, I love In Excess, so I was really excited about this. But we kind of talked about how, especially compared to today, but even for then, you were just kind of starting to get these mega tours where the production value was really going up.
Yeah.
I kind of singled out the Stones Steel Wheels tour, which almost, to me, looking back, seems like it kind of started an arms race that's still going in terms of continually upping the ante.
I would agree with you.
And what's amazing to watch about that In Excess concert is that there's none of those trappings. You have no pyro. You have, I don't even think there's video screens. There's nothing. Like, the focus is 100% on Michael Hutchence as a phenomenal front man and the strength of those songs, because they had In Excess had peaked, but literally peaked at that point. You had the Kick album in 87, X in 91, and then it started going downhill pretty quick after that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so this is a good document then.
It's wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. And so what was it like talking to Tim Ferriss? You said you were kind of, you know, you were very excited because you love the band.
Yeah. I mean, those stories about Queen, he was telling me stories about it wasn't just Wembley they opened. They opened that entire tour in 86, and it wound up being Queen's last tour with Freddie. So he said they all hit it off pretty well, and he was telling me a story about being in, I forget what city, but Freddie was living there at the time and owned a home, but rented out, like, the top two floors of a five-star hotel there anyway, even though he...
Well, there you go, man.
It just partied like a rock star. So he's telling the story about being in a hotel room with Freddie Mercury just singing. They were playing some demos and stuff, and Freddie's just belting it out in a hotel room.
Oh, man.
And he pulls Michael Hutchence in, and he said the two of them are, like, literally nose-to-nose, like, screaming, singing to one another in a hotel room. He goes, on one hand, I'm always glad when there's not phones around, that there weren't phones around to document this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's one moment would have been kind of nice to have captured. Yeah.
Now, did you watch the reality show after when they were going to get a new singer?
Mm-hmm.
Who did they choose?
JD Fortune, which didn't end real well for them,
right?
Yeah,
have they filled that void? Are they still touring?
So, I mean, this is like another sad chapter on this with first Michael Hutchence. Tim Ferriss lost a finger in like a fishing accident last year, and I think had it reattached. But the gist of it is. He can't play the guitar.
Oh, man.
So it's pretty much done.
Oh, man. He lost his finger in a fishing accident?
It was like a fishing or boating accident or something. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and he's embroiled in lawsuits. He couldn't even get into it, really. But it sounds like, for all intents and purposes, I mean, he certainly can't go tour. He said he can't play guitar.
Yeah.
I would imagine he could still write songs and stuff, but he certainly can't go on the road and play them, it didn't sound like. So.
That's too bad.
So he feels like his role is kind of in keeping the band's legacy alive.
I remember when Michael Hutchence died, when we found out that Michael Hutchence died, I was completely shocked.
Yeah, so was I.
You know, and he was really one of the most charismatic lead singers of all time.
And I feel like people have forgotten that.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of, like I say, I mean, it's the focus is on him.
Yeah.
So it's a good document to that. And then, of course, in January, next month, there's the Michael Hutchence Mystify documentary coming out as well, and that's going to hit theaters as well via Phantom Events.
All right, cool. All right, Jim, hang on. Jim Ryan is with us, and we got to hit the news here. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. After 3:30, we will jump into another round of Know Your Onion. And that's when you call up. The first two people through will be our two contestants. They each play a round. And Tom is your host, and he will read you a news headline. And you have to guess whether it's actually a real headline or from the satirical newspaper, The Onion. And real news in the real world is just so crazy now. Sometimes it's hard to figure out whether it's real or The Onion. And every week when we do this, Tom, there's at least one or two headlines where I go, that's real?
That's why it's so fun not to show them to you.
Yeah, that's why I don't. Yeah, it's good. I mean, I don't want to see them.
Hide it behind the glass.
I kind of play along with the contestants. So Know Your Onion coming up after 3:30. We got a Blackhawks, an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play as well. But right now we're hanging out with Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan, who contributed to Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now, writes about music and entertainment, does interviews and all kinds of cool stuff. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Did you find out enough's enough? Did you
find out Chip's Enough's last name? No, I found a lot of amazing Enough's Enough, Chip's Enough content. But,
oh, I bet.
His name is not amongst it.
His real name is not there. All right. I bet the first name's not even Chip.
It's Greg.
You found it?
Yeah. Greg Rabarski.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait. Chip's Enough's real name is what?
It is, let me just pull it back here.
Greg Rabowski?
Rabarski. Gregory Rabarski.
Gregory Rabarski.
Yeah, wow. Mr. Rabarski from the South Side.
Why did he change it?
I don't know, maybe.
Enough's Rabarski?
For rock stardom, Nick. He changed it.
All right.
Where did you find this?
Well, it's on Wikipedia.
Well, I was looking at Wikipedia, apparently.
Well, did you go down to the band members?
No.
There's your problem there, Chief.
I was looking in the history, and it looked like they had conveniently gone to great lengths to omit that information.
Oh, I see. All right.
He wants to be known as Chip.
Yeah.
Chip's Enough.
Chip's Enough.
Their songs have also been recorded by Nelson. Wikipedia tells me that.
Wow. All right. So your first 45 was, again, you had two of them.
It was Cheap Trick, the cover Don't Be Cruel,
right.
and Poison, Fallen Angel.
Right, and your first album was Misunderstood by Pink. Mine was Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you win.
I remember when my dad took me to a place called the Record Roost.
Wow.
On Lincoln and Ashland and Belmont.
Okay.
It's a Subway.
Okay. Okay.
And it has an entrance on either side. It has an entrance because it's on Belmont and Lincoln. So there's an entrance on Lincoln and Belmont because, you know, that's like a six corners area. So Lincoln runs on an angle. So that was my neighborhood. We would go shopping there. Before malls, you would go to Lincoln Avenue.
Sure.
That's where you would shop. So anyway, that's how I got it. And I remember the dude behind the counter was like a crazy look. This was in the 70s. And this dude behind the counter was like a crazy looking dude. Crazy beard, probably blew a bunch of weed before he was working behind the counter. And I walk up with my copy of Black Sabbath Paranoid. My dad's with me. And I put it down. And he looks at me. He looks at the album. He looks at me. And then he looks at my dad and he goes, "Are you sure you want your son to have this?" And this guy looks like a maniac, the guy behind the counter. And he's like, dad's like, "Yeah, he wants it. Just, yes, ring it up."
He's like, "Look how it ended for me."
Yeah. So he was the crazy looking dude with the beard tried to talk my dad out of letting me buy Black Sabbath Paranoid.
Wow.
Which still remains one of my favorite albums of all time. All right, first concert.
First concert was the Jacksons, the Victory Tour.
Oh, you went to the Victory Tour.
Michael at Comiskey Park.
Can you feel it?
October of 84.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
A week before my fifth birthday.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's a good one, right?
That's a real good one, yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you?
My first concert was at Tinley Park. It was Cheap Trick, Heart, and Journey.
Yeah.
That's a great bill.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. Was Cheap Trick first?
Yeah, they went.
So the first band you ever saw live was Cheap Trick?
Cheap Trick, yeah.
Wow. Man, that's good.
Oh, all right. Out. They brought the house down.
That's really.
That explains a lot, though.
What?
No, I mean, he has good taste in music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
No, because, I mean, here's the thing about Cheap Trick. They're as good now as they were in 1977.
Robin Zander still sounds fantastic.
Unbelievable. They're one of the best live bands ever. I've seen them dozens of times.
Yeah.
When they did the 1998 four-day stay, I went to every night.
Oh, my God.
Went every night. And it's now been captured on the album Music for Hangovers.
Music for Hangovers,
of which
love that.
I am inside the liner.
Okay.
You can see me because I'm in the balcony going like this with my Schlitz shirt on. And I'm standing next to the spotlight in the middle of the balcony at the Metro.
I have the DVD. I got to look up the CD.
Look up the CD. It's, if you open it up, just a little liner note thing. I'm right in the middle. Black and white picture of me just going with my, I'm doing the devil horns.
I was so bummed for so long that I didn't go to that run. And then in 2016, maybe I think it was, they did do One Night at Metro and I went to that.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Love that band.
Okay. So you went to the Days of the Dead convention.
I did.
Yeah. Over at the Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
Where we used to do Flashback. We're no longer at Crown Plaza anymore. We're over at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare.
Moving on up.
That's a huge step up. Yeah. That place is huge.
Nice.
So it's going to be fun this year. But anyway, Crown Plaza, the Days of the Dead, which is a horror convention.
Right.
Of sorts.
I was going to say of sorts, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your adventure there.
Steve Guttenberg was there.
I know.
What horror movie has Steve Guttenberg been in that's
Cocoon.
Not on my radar? Is that really a horror
Police
movie?
Police Academy?
Yeah, okay. I was going to say. I'm like,
Three Men and a Baby?
Right.
He's been in a lot of horror movies.
Sorry, I was processing the word horror.
He was in a thriller called, which is really actually a really good movie called The Bedroom Window.
Okay.
Which kind of can fall under that sort of mystery thriller kind of thing, directed by the late, great Curtis Hanson, who did L.A. Confidential.
Steve Guttenberg's kind of doing this circuit now, doing these conventions, because he was here at Wizard World.
Of course he was, yeah.
And I had heard this from a friend of mine who's a photographer who tried to go up and get a picture of him at Wizard World, and he wouldn't allow it. And then I saw it with my own two eyes at Days of the Dead. Guttenberg, when he's doing the selfie, shake the hand thing, wears latex gloves. And it was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen.
So he's a germaphobe?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's the only reason, unless he's going to murder somebody.
Like I say, I heard this was happening at Wizard World, and I can confirm that
it's
happening at Days of the Dead.
So if you want to meet Steve Guttenberg, enjoy the latex smell on your hand after you shake it.
He's now shot me down for an interview at these conventions three times.
Steve Guttenberg.
And I keep going up and asking for it anyway, because now it's just kind of funny to me, and I hope at some point he starts to recognize, every time I'm in Chicago, this guy's going to ask me for an interview, and I'm going to say no. He's just
And on what basis does he say no?
He has his person tell me no.
You gotta be kidding me. We're talking about Steve Guttenberg
in 2019.
Are they wearing latex too?
They were not.
Oh.
Just him. But I actually pondered paying the $60 for a selfie with him as long as his hands with the gloves were visible.
Were visible, yeah.
Because I was like, no one's going to believe me.
So he charges 60 for a selfie.
It was 60 for a selfie and 100 for the combo if you wanted a, you know, signed 8x10 of Lieutenant Kerry Mahoney. Or...
Oh, my God. It's no wonder these people do these conventions, man.
Right.
I mean, you make a ton of money, and it's all cash.
It's
all
you
cash.
Know, you know what that means.
Yeah. It's all cash.
I mean, Steve Gutenberg's going to wind up in jail on tax evasion in 2025.
At some point. Yeah, I mean, I've you know, been a part of the Flashback Convention for many years, and I see the kind of money that is flying around in that dealer room, you know, with the celebrities.
Ed Furlong on his panel said the fact that I can sort of make a living coming to these things and letting people tell me how awesome I am and then taking a photo with them is awesome. And what was the other word he used? I think he said it was awesome and frightening at the same time.
My future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo,
yes,
from Ash vs. Evil Dead, she loves going to conventions.
Okay.
She has a great time. And she's great with the fans. And you don't have to worry about latex gloves with Dana.
Just about to make that joke.
Dana's very touchy-feely. She is, she doesn't care about, she definitely doesn't care about germs. but she's at a convention this weekend. I can't remember where. Georgia, I think. And they've got the actual car that, a replica of the car that Bruce drove.
Okay.
In Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you can get a picture with Dana inside the car. So you can sit behind the driver's side and she will be she'll be shotgun.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So anyway, but she really enjoys them. But she has a lot of fun with the fans. She's definitely not
Steve Gutenberg.
Oh no, there's no. She doesn't have people with her.
Ask if she's had any experiences or heard of any experiences with him
with Steve Gutenberg? Oh yeah, I'll definitely
cross it.
No, I'll talk to her.
I get the feeling he does a lot of these.
Yeah. She's doing a pretty good amount of them now. We're gonna try. I want her to come back for Flashback because normally, what we do is we try not to have the same guest each year.
Okay.
We try to if it's a guest that we really like, we want to stagger it. So Dana was there in 2018, and so she wasn't there this year.
Riot Fest has had a lot of luck, Nick, booking Guar and Andrew WK every single year. So maybe you want to consider
That's not my choice, because if it were up to me, Dana would be at every convention that we did. all right. So what else did you see? There were people from It Chapter 2.
Yeah, the kids from both It movies were there,
mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to hear them speak really eloquently about what they want out of a horror movie and what makes a good one.
Yeah,
they're fans of authenticity. They're fans of the characters not doing something stupid, avoiding the stereotypical, you know, character pitfalls in these movies.
Yeah.
So they were good. You had Richard Dreyfuss was there.
I loved Richard Dreyfuss.
Me too.
Love him.
Always good to see him. And Ed Furlong. I interviewed Ed Furlong. That'll be running tomorrow at Forbes.
Oh, okay.
And that's, you know, interesting. I mean, he's obviously...
Did you ask him about releasing the lobsters to freedom?
I don't know about this one.
Oh, he got loaded one time and went into a fish market and let the lobsters go. Because he didn't like them. They were in tanks and stuff being waited to be purchased and then eventually boiled and eaten. And he wanted to liberate the lobsters.
Now, see, he's...
And he was loaded. He was like... And he was throwing lobsters. Were trying to release a bunch of lobsters. It's a true story.
Now, see, he's done a lot of allegedly indefensible things, but that's one I can get behind.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
He's had a weird. I mean, he's a child actor, man.
He was set up to fail from go.
At the age he was when T2 came out and how monstrous a hit that was.
With no parents, by the way, in the picture before the fame and
that's
the money
why he was
in.
Cast.
Yeah.
That's exactly why Cameron cast him. And then to, you know, like a few years later to be in American History X, which is heavy stuff. So, But now. Did you talk to Dreyfuss?
Briefly.
Yeah.
No interview or anything, but said hello.
I enjoy the Richard Dreyfuss very much.
I do too.
Very much. So, but now you say here in the article that Terminator Dark Fate.
Right.
Okay. Which is one of the biggest flops of the year.
Right.
But have you seen it?
I have not. I know all the spoilers.
It's the best since T2.
So you liked it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but,
yeah.
I keep hearing that there's just a ton of angst and frustration amongst the Terminator fans with where that franchise is gone. That it almost didn't matter on this one if it was going to be good or bad. They're going to be mad.
Well, this one, they kind of ignore everything that happened in the bad, in the really, really bad sequel. So this one basically takes place after T2.
That's what I read. Like, you know, they're basically
just
eliminating.
Count the events from the first movie and Terminator 2.
Pretend Christian
Forget
Bale
everything else.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, forget Genesis. But I'm a fan of the third one. I'm a fan of Rise of the Machines. I actually really like that movie. But this was really strong, and nobody went to see it. One of the biggest bombs of the year.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I mean, he talked about, he said it was bittersweet. He said it was nice to get the John Connor character back, but it's a small role, and he's de-aged, and not ideal.
Very cool. All right, listen, hang on for a second. Was that your first con?
I mean, if you don't count C2E2 and Wizard World and all that stuff,
Okay, hang on, Jim. Jim Ryan is here. We got more stuff to talk about that he's written about and music and stuff. And then we're going to play a round of Rock of Ages right here on WGN for music trivia. I thought you cut off George Michael and I was ready to start yelling.
Just a little glitch.
Don't be cutting off George Michael, man. I love that song. Wildcard Wednesday. Who requested Last Christmas?
That's coming to us from Ike.
From the movie of the same name, which made no money. Despite the fact that Emilia Clarke is really, truly one of the most delightful and charming women I've seen on a movie screen in a very long time. And I don't watch Game of Thrones. So, how you doing, Jim?
I'm good.
Welcome back.
Jimmy Eat World does a cover of that, by the way.
Do they?
It's not bad.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah, and she sings it in the movie at the end, and does a wonderful job with it. So, hey, the Reverend Horton Heat.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the Reverend Horton Heat. He put a Christmas album out like in 2005.
Yeah.
What's going on now? There's a connection with that? They're bringing it back in some capacity?
Yeah, I think he did this last year, too, but he just launched his Horton's Holiday Hayride Tour in Chicago on Black Friday at House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
So it was your typical Reverend Horton Heat set with Christmas songs peppered in. They actually opened with a instrumental version of We Three Kings, and it was fantastic. I gotta say, it was
People who might not know, how would you describe Reverend Horton Heat?
Texas rockabilly,
kind of.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah,
you know, old rock and roll, but they're as capable of covering Motorhead as they are Chuck Berry.
Yeah,
or the Stray Cats.
They're a fun band.
I love them.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And you're going to interview Jim Heath?
We're going to talk about Christmas music on Friday, yes.
Oh, you must be very excited about that.
Yes.
That's specifically going to talk about Christmas music? Now, their Horton's Holiday Hayride Tour, is that all just Christmas stuff?
It wasn't all Christmas. They worked all their stuff in, too.
Yeah. But there will be Christmas tunes played.
There will be Christmas tunes played on this tour.
Are they going to be sort of the traditional ones that people cover all the time, but they're going to do it with like a twang?
With their putting their take on it,
Yeah, okay.
It was cool. Was fun.
Reverend Horton Heat, House of Blues.
Underrated guitar player, Jim Heath.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, how about this? Letters to Cleo, they got a new Christmas album out, and you interviewed Kay Henley.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Do you remember them in the 90s briefly? They had their
kind
little
of.
Run?
Okay. I mean, I know the name has definitely been, you know, in my brain. I know that for sure. I just couldn't tell you what song they sang or anything like that.
She did her big hit. Letters to Cleo's big hit in the 90s was "Here and Now" from the album Aurora Borealis.
Can you play a little Here and Now? I'll probably recognize it when I hear it. Yeah, I remember that.
She does a cover of Nick Lowe's Cruel to Be Kind in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, she does?
You might remember that.
I do.
And it's a recurring joke on Parks and Rec that Adam Scott's character is really into Letters to Cleo.
Oh, yeah.
And they play at one point on the show.
Okay.
And then you might remember this. She did the singing voice for Rachel Lee Cook's character in Josie and the Pussycats.
She did?
Yes.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. I didn't know that.
So
I'm a fan. By the way, I'm a fan of that movie.
Oh, that's an underrated movie.
I think Josie and the Pussycats is a terrific movie. Who are the other Pussycats? Is it Tara Reid, Rosario Dawson?
Yeah.
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 And Rachel Lee Cook.
Uh huh.
I like that movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the subtle jokes they make in there.
Richard E. Grant.
Quite good.
I think that movie's terrific. I remember really like I caught a lot of flack from people for giving it, because when it came out in 2000, I gave it like a really great review.
They just couldn't see how deep it went. It was so clever.
And it's a really smart show. And I never really watched the cartoon. You know, I was a little bit older than that, and the target demographic of that was little girls. You know, and so when the movie came out, I was like, oh man. And then I ended up really enjoying it. I also enjoy Spice World. I do. I enjoy Spice World. I like that movie. Richard E. Grant's in that, too. He's in both those movies. He's in Josie and the Pussycats, and he's in Spice World.
Wait, who is he in Josie?
Josie and the Pussycats, I believe he's an agent.
Are you thinking of Alan Cumming?
No. Wait a minute. Alan Cumming is in...
Josie and the Pussycats.
But I think
he works with Parker Posey.
Right.
Because Parker Posey's
right,
a big
exactly.
Dumb.
But I think... Wait a minute now. But I know Richard E. Grant's in Spice World. That I know for
that
a fact.
That is very true.
I think I'm getting him mixed up with Alan Cumming. And I, you know, that seems... That's not outrageous.
No, to get
those two guys mixed up. Especially since the movies are kind of similar in, you know, kind of style and tone and when they came out.
Right.
So, anyway. Well, all right, letters to clear. So you did interview her?
I interviewed her, yeah. They have a Christmas EP out.
Uh-huh.
It's actually really good. They cover Elvis. There's a couple of originals on there. It's pretty cool. They cover the Kinks too, Father Christmas,
oh,
which I love.
Man, I love that song.
Which is one of my favorite Christmas songs, because
yeah.
It gets into again, like we get into the idea that Christmas is a difficult time for some people, and Father Christmas gets into some of the reasons why. It gets into the materialistic aspect
and all that stuff. And I love the fact that like the kids are threatening to beat the crap out of Father Christmas, and they want machine guns. They ask for machine guns.
I love that song.
I do, too. I absolutely love that song. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs. My favorite Christmas song of all time is Fairy Tale in New York.
Okay, the Pogues, sure.
Yeah, that's my favorite. And I adore that song. Of course, people are, you know, because, you know, I can never play it on the air. I mean, the chorus alone, we would get shut down.
Right.
But I adore that song. I love that song.
Shane McGowan.
You've seen the Pogues, right?
One time I saw the Pogues.
Was Shane okay, or was he in...
He was okay. He was was at the Riv, and...
When are we talking about?
This is like 2013, 14? Does that sound right, I think?
Yeah.
And he would wander on and off the stage at will, but he could do that under his own power, which seems like it was half the battle. I think the show started late.
Oh, really?
And we joked, like, is he across the street at Green Mill?
Yeah.
Where is he right now? Because you figure he's somewhere doing something.
Yeah. went to the Guinness Festival, the Outdoor Guinness Festival.
Okay.
Which was a nightmare, because it was a fest, it was outdoors, it was like 90 degrees out, and the only thing they had to drink was Guinness. Now, I love Guinness, okay?
I love it too.
I love it as much as the next guy. I haven't had one in a very long time, and I miss it. But... You don't drink Guinness on a 90-degree humid day. That's, like, not something you want to consume. It's like, let's have a nice pint of Guinness. So, anyway, this festival, it was, the Guinness Oyster Festival?
Yeah, no, I remember this.
Okay, so it was,
the
like,
Flaw 100 festival?
Degrees. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, his trailer was, like, somebody spotted Shane McGowan's trailer, because the Pogues were on the set.
Okay.
And McGowan just was walking out of his trailer. Walking out of his trailer and just faced, like fell off, like missed the step entirely, boom, right on his face, and then he ended up. He was loaded during the show,
really?
and yeah, but you know that's the thing. I've seen the Pogues, twice and no three times, and McGowan solo once.
Where did you see Shane solo? Where was that at?
Riv, I think.
Okay, wow,
Riv or Vic, I think. I can't remember.
I just looked it up. It was 08 when I saw them.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I was not there. I was at I saw them at the Congress.
Okay. I remember when they
right
did
around
Congress.
That time I played. They played two nights. I went both nights.
We were standing there on the floor at the Riv, all the way at the back against that wall where it goes up to the middle level.
Yeah.
And I'm looking over to my left, and I'm like, this guy looks really familiar. I couldn't figure out
this
who he was.
This is at a Pogue show?
Yeah. This was during whoever was the opener. And I keep saying to my buddy Ben, I'm like, that guy looks really familiar, but I can't place it. Show starts, and all of a sudden, Ben looks over to me, and finally he goes, Sonic. And I'm like, that's it. It was one of the dudes from the Sonic ads.
Oh!
Who I know are based
right.
here.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. It's Chicago Improvisers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that guy was standing next to me at the Pogue show at the Riv in 2008.
All right. Why don't we take a break here? We'll do some commercials. We'll come back. We got a few things to talk about more, and then we're going to play a round of Rock of Ages music trivia. Are you ready, Jim?
No, probably not.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll do that right after we break here on WGN.
Sitting stoned alone in my backyard, asking myself why should I work so hard. Sitting dreaming about the days to come, half undressed just soaking up the sun. Sitting here I hope I don't get fried.
Welcome back everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Wildcard Wednesday. You be Wilger Wendy. Any artist, any song, and a thing. And it's 312-981-7200. What do we got there? Who requested that?
So that's Sunny Days by Lighthouse, coming to us from Canadian Bill.
Canadian Bill. All right. Jim Ryan is with us, contributed to Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. We're going to play a round of Rock of Ages. And we were discussing the shape that Shane McGowan is in right now.
Oof. Yeah, not good.
Not good.
Well, he's had his teeth replaced.
He did have his teeth replaced, but he busted his hip.
Ugh. Shattered his pelvis.
Shattered his pelvis in a fall, and now he's just trying to walk.
Oh,
man. It's not good.
No, it's not
good. There were photos of him at a wedding in a wheelchair, and...
Yeah. Yeah, I love him, though, man.
Time was not going to be kind to Shane McGowan.
No. I love him. You know that for the first dance at my last wedding, my second ex-wife, our first dance was haunted by him and Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, wow.
Which is one of the most beautiful songs of all time. And so that was like solo. He was with the Popes. That was from his Shane McGowan and the Popes album, and Sinead O'Connor guested on it. It's a beautiful song.
Know the Pope stuff well at all.
Do you know Haunted?
No.
Oh man, can you play a little bit of that to bring back memories of my second wife? But this was, we came to the, both of us, you know, love both of these artists very much, and we were like, okay, but this is do you know Haunted, Tom? Haunted, this is Shane McGowan and then with Sinead O'Connor. It's a beautiful song.
Didn't have nothing to do that day. Didn't want to do nothing anyway.
You got a way of walking.
You got a way of talking.
And it's something about you.
Such a great
song.
That's
really good.
It's beautiful.
Wow. Okay.
It's beautiful. I can't remember the title. It might be the self-titled album.
It's so easy to dismiss Shane McGowan sometimes, but wow, that's quite wonderful.
No. I'm listening to, you know, the guy was a massive alcoholic and had some serious issues and drug problems and heroin, all that stuff. But he's enormously talented.
Oh,
I mean, beautifully, beautiful stuff. He wrote beautiful songs. Oh, I got to sneeze.
Oh, jeez.
It's a good thing I turned my mic off for that.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
I'll have to capture that one for later. We'll put that in the sound bar.
There's a weird sort of allergy thing that's happening today.
Okay.
I got the watery eyes, and I'm sneezing, and the kind of a runny nose thing, and it just started happening this evening.
That's why you've got the
past evening.
The plaque downstairs out in the Hall of Fame.
The Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you sneeze on the air.
Oh, because I sneeze on the air. Okay. I was like, what the hell does that have to do with
it? There
that?
We go.
All right. Anyway. Have you ever seen the Pogues, Tom?
No, never had the chance.
Oh, okay. No. They were another band like the Replacements. You never knew what you were going to get.
Right.
You know
I
what
wish they would... They've done absolutely nothing, I don't think, since they've actually, when they said they were calling it quits, they actually...
No, yeah.
Seemed like they meant it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, look, if Shane McGowan can't walk...
Well, I mean, they did a lot without him.
Well, that's true.
Not all of it was bad.
That's true.
Tuesday Morning is a pretty wonderful song.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I forgot about that. But he, to me, sort of just represents
the Pogues. That's fair.
So much that it's hard for me to kind of, so I had a friend of mine went to go see Shane McGowan. So I was bartending at Ginger's Ale House, okay, which is now AJ Hudson's at Ashland and Grace. So I was bartending there, and I see my friend Steve come in, and he's bombed. And he comes staggering in, and he sits down, and he's got his overcoat on. This was when my friend Steve became obsessed with the movie Naked and started like walking around thinking he was David Thewlis.
Okay.
And kind of shared the same really dark. You've seen Naked, right, Tom? Naked?
Naked? No.
The Michael Lee movie? Mike Lee?
No, yeah. I've out of the little Mike Lee I've gotten to see, I have seen Naked.
There's another guy you got to catch up on.
I know.
Alan Parker, Mike Lee, you got to catch up on. But Naked, my friend became obsessed with that movie and became obsessed with David Thewlis in it. And David Thewlis, by the way, is insanely good in that movie, but it's a really dark, twisted movie. So he was in a dark place. So he comes staggering into the bar, and he sits down, and he takes off his coat, and he's drenched. Just drenched. It's not raining out. He's drenched. He takes off his black David Thewlis overcoat. He's just sitting on the stool. And I go, what the hell happened? You know, I look at him because he's soaked. And I go, what the hell happened? And he goes, Shane McGowan. He was at the Shane McGowan show.
Okay.
And he was in the pit. And so, like, he got all sweaty and he came straight from the metro. So he's sitting there, and I noticed there was something on his glass. He wore glasses. And I noticed there was something on the top left part of the lens of his glasses, like something on it. I go, the hell, what the hell's on your glasses? And he goes, gum. So he comes in completely soaked, chewed gum on his glasses, annihilated drunk, and just because it was the Shane McGowan show.
That will happen in a Shane McGowan show.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It was funny because I had to kick him out of the bar. I had to kick my friend out of the bar. Because there was a girl at the jukebox and he's kind of staggering up behind her and he ordered a Guinness and a shot of Jameson. Of course, I didn't pour it because he was annihilated at that point. So he walks up behind her and he's like, "Get out of the way and let me." And I was like, "You got to go, man. You got to go." So I had him escorted out, and so I called a cab. All right, so I called a cab for him. And so he's standing outside because I had to get him out of the bar because he was just completely gone. And this is, I blame Shane McGowan for all of this. So he's out on the corner, right there at the corner. And Kitty Corner from Ginger's at that time was a video store. Okay. And so, we could hear him like through the glass because he was standing right outside in front of the bar. And he's just yelling just indiscriminately. And there was a guy across the street who comes out of the video store with a bag with a couple of VHSs in it. He walks out, and my friend goes, "Hey, those movies suck." So eventually the cab comes. I go outside. I grab a 20 from my till. Not the till, my tip jar. I grab a 20 from the tip jar, and I walk out. And the cab driver, as soon as he sees him, he's like, "Oh, no." You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I threw the 20 at the guy, and I'm like, "Please." You know, he didn't live very far away at that time. My friend didn't live very far away. It was a short cab ride. So I gave him 20. I was like, "Here, just take this." So he's like, you tell the cab driver's like, "Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate this." So we pour him into the back of the car, my friend, and he's like, "Yeah." And so the cab is about to pull away, and the cab driver goes, "Where to, man?" And he goes, "My effing house," and then passes out.
Perfect.
So I had to tell him where he lived. I was like, "This is where he lives. Make sure he gets something." He was okay. I saw him the next day. He's like, "What happened?" I'm like, Shane McGowan. Oh, man. Okay, let's take a quick break. All right?
Okay.
Are you ready for Rock of Ages?
I'm getting there, yeah.
All right, Rock of Ages is a music trivia game, and we're going to play it. We play it every time that that Jim visits, and we'll start that right after this on WGN. Was this request put in before I revealed what my first album was?
100% yes.
Yes.
Oh, man. Who requested the Sabbath, the War Pigs?
So we can attribute that one to the 708.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's one of the greatest songs of all time. And you know who does a killer cover of it?
Who does a killer cover of
Faith No More?
Oh.
Like a killer cover of
it. We've talked about their covers. Their covers are great. Awesome.
And their cover of War Pigs, fantastic.
Very cool.
So,
Yeah, and Easy, of course. Their cover of Easy is just amazing.
There was another one they just did like in the last year or two, and I can't remember what it was now, and it was that same thing where they don't get real far from the original, but, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Patton. Love that guy.
They're touring next year.
I love those guys. They're so good. All right, we're back. Jim Ryan is here. We've been talking music, and now we're going to play a little music trivia. And coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll have all simulcast from our friends over at Bradley Place, and we will broadcast live the early morning, first hour of the early morning TV news right here on WGN. And at 5 o'clock is Steve Cochran with your morning drive, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, are we ready for a little Rock of Ages?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, so here's how it works. I ask Jim a question. Jim asks Tom a question. Tom asks me a question. Oh, wait, I got to keep score. And so, wait, hold on a second. Okay, good. We're all ready. And so the categories are 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and Beatles or Elvis. So those are the categories. And we'll see who the winner is. Okay? And the winner wins a Buick.
Another one.
Just a Buick.
Just a Buick.
Tom's going to stockpile these Buicks.
It's sitting outside right now, right in front on Columbus. Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, right out there.
In the construction zone?
Right by the construction zone. But unfortunately, it's loaded. The windshield is loaded with tickets. So you have to pay those if you win.
It's a double-edged sword.
How many miles?
185,000.
Not bad, I'll take it.
No, not bad. Okay, you ready? Jim, 50s, 60s, you ready?
Yes.
What comic book group had a real number one hit in 1969 with Sugar Sugar?
The Archies.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I would have been very disappointed in you if you didn't get
60s
that.
60s usually yeah, get a number
not
on
very,
me.
Not very strong, but you got to know the Archies.
I do know the Archies.
Okay. All right.
All right,
this
Tom.
This is for Tom.
Tom, 50s, 60s. Cole Porter died. Comedian Lenny Bruce was arrested on obscenity charges. Jeopardy debuted, and I Get Around was number one. Name the year within one. Cole Porter died. Lenny Bruce arrested. Jeopardy debuted, and I Get Around, number one.
I Get Around. I'm going to say 66.
You're close. 64.
Oh,
2 years.
God, we're just
sorry,
off.
My friend.
Just off.
Cannot accept it.
So was that the first time Lenny Bruce was arrested?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was going to say, because, you know, he was arrested more than once. Yeah.
I want to go see that production at the Royal George.
Yeah, I hear it's great.
It's supposed to be really good. Joe Mantegna?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I hear it's really, really good. I like the movie, Lenny.
Oh, the
Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, okay. There was
and Dustin Hoffman, and he plays Lenny Bruce. Valerie Perrine plays his wife, and Bob Fosse directed it.
I haven't seen that. I watched some Netflix documentary. Called Lenny.
Right, but no, you should see the Bob Fosse movie. It's really good.
He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Tom, you got a question for me?
I do.
All right,
50s, 60s. What?
Oh no!
And it's your favorite band too. What word in "Light My Fire" was Jim Morrison told to change for his 1967 Ed Sullivan Show performance? What word was he told to change?
Oh man, do you not know this?
Come on,
is it? I mean, it's like it's something about spend the night. No, Let's Spend the Night Together was a Stones.
I was going to say, no.
I'm getting it confused because I just hate the Doors so much.
Me too.
I probably just put it out of my brain.
Oh, man.
What word did he have to...
And then he got in trouble because
he did say it. Okay. I'm just... Girl, we couldn't get much higher. I can't stand that guy. I don't know. Sex.
You literally just said it was higher.
Higher?
It was higher.
It was higher.
Because you can't get high.
Yep. All right. It was higher. I couldn't turn around and look at Tom.
I didn't want to like make a face or anything. Yeah. I was like, well, is he going to say it?
I couldn't even turn around and look at you, Tom.
Yeah. All right. Because I kept thinking, one, I hate the Doors.
Yeah.
With like a passion.
Justified.
I hate the Doors.
Most overrated band in history.
I absolutely agree with you. Okay. Absolutely agree with you 100%. And Jim Morrison was a buffoon.
Yes, he was.
And so, but I couldn't get the Stones out of my head while trying to answer that, because I know that Let's Spend the Night Together, they had to change Let's Spend Some Time Together. that's the one that I know better because I like that band. You know what I mean? So, all right. Well, look, after round one, Jim, you're in the lead.
A commanding lead of one.
Thanks to a 50-60s question.
One to nothing and nothing. Higher. I can't believe it. You know, I would have known that if you were quizzing me about Creed. I would have got it right. Yeah, have you ever seen live footage of Creed?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Have you ever seen how much sweat comes out of Scott Stapp?
He's sweating it out.
He's the sweatiest. He's ridiculous. He sweat. Like, I watched the concert, because I don't hate Creed. So I watched the concert on Access TV, or whatever the hell it was, whatever channel.
Okay.
And there was like an hour-long concert of Creed, and I watched it, and I got concerned for him.
I'm concerned that you watched an hour of Creed.
I know. But I got concerned for Scott Stapp. I was like, this guy's going to sweat to
death. This man needs fluids.
Yeah. He went through like four shirts, and I'm not kidding, when it's like flying off of him and like into the front row. I was like,
that
this
could
is...
be his hair product, though, too.
No, this chest, whole upper torso soaked. Pants, the top part of his pants. I was like, this guy's dying on stage right now. Someone get him a Gatorade. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Name the band from Alabama that was the biggest selling country act of the 80s.
Oh, God. Biggest selling. They're from Alabama?
Yeah, it says name the band from Alabama that was the biggest selling country act of the 80s.
Please tell me it's actually Alabama.
It's Alabama.
All right.
All right. Oh, wow. Geez. Look at that. Two for Jim. Jim's batting 1,000.
Incredible.
Tom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 70s, 80s. Okay. Charles Atlas died. The Supreme Court ruled the death penalty unconstitutional. The Waltons debuted, and Heart of Gold was number one. Name the year within one.
You said it's 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah.
70s and 80s. All right. I'm going to say, God, Heart of Gold.
Heart of Gold, the Waltons.
75.
Earlier.
The correct answer was 72.
Ah. Okay.
Sorry, right. Tom.
Tough right. one. I got the yips.
All right.
All right, 70s, 80s.
Oh, no.
This is a gimme. What man fronted the Boomtown the Boomtown Rats, co-wrote Do They Know It's Christmas, and organized the 85 Live Aid concert, and was a Nobel Peace Prize nominee?
And played Pink in Pink Floyd the Wall.
He did.
Bob Geldof.
There you go.
All right.
Can we do a Live Aid segment sometime?
I'd love to. I would love to.
I'm fast. I love Live Aid.
Because I do, too. And, you know, what's funny is the memory that I have of Live Aid, besides, obviously, Queen... knocking everything out of the park, was that on the northwest side of Chicago, many of the people did not get cable yet.
Okay.
They started south of, like, you know, like, they started south, like, by North Avenue, and okay. a little bit south of North Avenue, and then moved their way north. And I lived south of Grand, just south of Grand Avenue, and all of my friends lived north of Addison, but, like, around the same 100, like, central Austin, that kind of area.
Sure.
Right there. And so I was the only person that had cable. And so every one of my friends came over. There were, like, 15 of us in my living room.
MTV aired it, I'm guessing?
MTV aired the whole thing. Yeah. And we watched all of Live Aid. It was great.
The
it was
Hall & Oates Orchestra. Yeah. I love that that's how they're billed in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The Hall & Oates Orchestra. Backing Mick Jagger and Tina Turner and... So good.
There were some performances that were, like, horrible, like Zeppelin.
Oh, there's
the Zeppelin.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins
off the Learjet.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the big thing about Phil Collins was the big story was that he was at both Live Aids.
Yes.
He was at Wembley and in Philadelphia because he jumped on the Concorde.
Oh, God.
And he played at both.
That's hilarious.
And at that time, 1985, Phil Collins was huge in 1985. Like, that was like, that was about maybe less than a year after No Jacket Required was out. And No Jacket Required was a monstrous album.
I remember how massive Phil Collins was.
And so, like, for him to jump on the Concorde and play at both Philadelphia and Wembley, that was a big deal. And I remember the VJs were making a big deal out of it. And like Martha Quinn was like, oh, can you believe Phil Collins is here?
Have you ever watched the video? It's on YouTube. It's either Alan Hunter or Adam Curry. I can't remember which. Interviewing Zeppelin right after they got off the stage.
Well, it's Alan Hunter because Adam Curry wasn't there at that time.
And Phil Collins is sitting right next to Robert Plant as Robert Plant just blasts him throughout the entire, just buries Phil Collins throughout the entire interview. And Phil is just sitting there forced to listen to it. And it's hysterical.
I would love to see that, and I'm definitely going to. Okay, hang on. We'll jump back into this. Our next category, which I will read to you, is 90s, 2000s, and then we'll continue with the game. It's two. Jim has two. I have one. Tom has zero so far, but that is likely to change. The news is coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are here 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. We get an extra hour than we used to, and we're thrilled about that. And, yeah, here till 4 in the Skyline studio. At 4 o'clock, we'll hear a simulcast of our friends over at Bradley Place of the early morning WGN-TV news. And then at 5 o'clock, it's Steve Cochran with your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Wildcard Wednesday. You mean Wildcard Wednesday? Who requested that?
That's coming to us. From the 630.
Okay. Who was it?
It was interesting. It's I'll Be Home for Christmas by Girl in a Coma.
Okay. All right. Girl in a Coma. All right. Okay. Okay. Isn't that a Morrissey song? Girlfriend in a Coma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is Morrissey.
Yeah. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Jim Ryan is with us. He writes about music and entertainment and all kinds of cool stuff. Visits us usually about once a month. And you can read him in Forbes, Daily Herald, and Chicago Now. We always play a round of a game called, two rounds of a game called Rock of Ages, which is a music trivia game. And before we took a break, Jim has two, I have one, Tom has zero. So it's time to begin again. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. This is for you, Jim. 90s, 2000s. What multiple-hatted man who was a member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, a syndicated radio show host, and played mobster Silvio Dante on HBO's The Sopranos?
Little Steven Van Zandt.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Wow, man. You're doing well this game.
every now and again.
Yeah, wow. All right.
Tom, 90s, 2000s, another date for you here. John Candy died. The Buffalo Bills lost their fourth Super Bowl in a row. Pulp Fiction debuted, and On Bended Knee was number one. Name the exact year.
1994.
You got it.
Yeah.
Tom is on the board.
There you go. All right. All right. And our final question on the... Oh, no. You have to question me.
Yeah.
All right.
90s, 2000s. What Irish band fronted by Dolores O'Riordan had hits in the 90s with Linger and Zombie?
That would be the Cranberries.
That is correct.
Yes. I can't believe she's dead.
That's so sad.
It's horrible. I loved her.
I did, too.
God. Okay. Beatles or Elvis is the category.
All right.
Ready? In which Beatles song does Captain Marvel make an appearance?
I don't know.
In which Beatles song does Captain Marvel make an appearance?
I have no idea. I know. Go ahead. Just
the continuing story of Bungalow Bill.
Thank you.
So,
there we go. It was going to end at some point.
You finally missed one. Okay.
Tom, Beatles and Elvis, fill in this George Harrison song, Devil and the Deep Blank Blank.
Oh, God.
George Harrison. Devil and the Deep Blank Blank.
Deep Blue Sea?
That's correct.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
All right. Hey. Nick, Beatles or Elvis?
Oh, I don't know.
Pick one.
In 1970, Elvis recorded the Hank Cochran song, Make the Blank Go Away.
Make the blank go away. It's 1970?
Yeah, 1970. The Hank Cochran song, Make the Blank Go Away.
Pain?
That was my guess.
That's incorrect. Make the world go away. Make the world go away.
Why? Actually, 70 was a good year for Elvis.
Okay.
Because he had In the Ghetto in that year. It was a good year for him. He began, that's when he started to do the Vegas stuff.
The jumpsuits?
He switched over to the jumpsuits right around that time.
When was Suspicious Mind? Shortly thereafter?
Yeah, right around that time, early 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get the 68 comeback special, and then
the 68 comeback special. He had some hits in the early 70s. The Hawaii concert, which was like broadcast on, you know, like, which was broadcast
right.
all over
everywhere,
the world.
Yeah.
It was like one of the highest rated things ever.
Yeah.
The addictions,
the toilet
set in, and it wasn't good. He died in 77. But, yeah, the early 70s were nice. It was a nice time for him.
Yeah.
He had a hunk of Burning Love was around that time. Yeah. So, all right. That was round one for a Buick that's got parking tickets on it.
How do you get it out of the construction zone? That's what I mean. Do we get it towed?
You're going to have to call a tow truck.
311? You think they'll get that done?
Yeah. Maybe somebody here in the building can help you out. somebody in the building will help you out, or somebody at the
guys downstairs,
the Radisson. They'll help you out over at the Radisson.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Here's where we are. You ready for where we are?
Yeah.
At this point in the world, Jim has three. He's in the lead. You haven't been in the lead since the first time we played this.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I'm serious. No, I think it's true. And then Tom and I both have two. So it's still close. It's still anybody's game. Don't hedge your bets now.
I needed that Beatles one.
Yeah.
Maintain my lead.
Yeah. Make the world go away. I should have known that, actually. I'm disappointed, quite frankly, in my face. So, all right, let's take a break here for some weather. We'll do a little commercial break, and then we'll come back, and we will play the second round.
When I was small, I believed in Santa Claus, though I knew it was my dad. And I would hang up my stocking at Christmas, open my presents, and I'd be glad. But the last time I played Father Christmas, I stood outside a department store.
Was this requested before we mentioned it?
Yep.
What is going on?
Wow. Such a good song, though.
It's a great song. A great song. Wild Card Wednesday, everybody. Yeah! It's one artist. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Jim Ryan is with us. You can read him at Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. And we talked about a bunch of stuff that he has talked about in concerts and stuff, and the upcoming interviews that will be posted as well. And now we are playing the second round of Rock of Ages. And, you know, this is a fun music trivia game. And Jim has three, Tom has two, and I have two. So, Jim, you're in the lead.
All right.
You excited about that?
Cautiously optimistic.
Okay, good. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's begin round two. 50s, 60s, that's the category. Name both the original Beatles and Rolling Stones hits that have the word monkey in the title.
Monkey Man and... Beatles hit with monkey. Oh, man. I'm going to be so mad when you tell me. Beatles hit with monkey. Ah. What is it?
Everybody's got something to say.
Oh, say me and my monkey.
For me and my monkey.
Ah.
that's kind of aggravating.
That one is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got one of them, right?
You got a half a point.
I'm a monkey!
They did that at Soldier Field that night, too.
That's a great song.
Yes, it is.
Monkey Man is a great. It's one of my favorite Stone songs.
Mine too.
Yeah, such a good song.
Off my favorite Stones album. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's off Let It Bleed.
That's on Let It Bleed.
Never mind.
Which is my favorite Stone song.
Mine's Exile. So yeah, never mind.
All right. So go ahead for Tom. Tom, are you ready now?
I'm ready.
Tom, I apologize in advance because there's more dates coming at you.
Dude, what?
These were random. These were randomly drawn. I want everybody to know we have a box of quiz cards from this game, and we randomly draw two cards each. So it's not like this is a quinky dink.
Tom, 50s, 60s, within one, what year was guitarist Jeff Beck born? Do some quick math. Jeff Beck.
I don't know how old he is now. I'm going to say 53.
Sorry, you're way off. 44. 1944 was the year of birth for the great Jeff Beck.
I figured it would be...
Well, since
it
was 50, the categories 60. Was 50, 60. The one Jeff Beck was,
was popular in the 50s and 60s. So.
Yeah. Well, it's not the 50s, you know what, the 60s.
Yeah. I see why you made that guess.
Yeah.
So the category is 50s. Anything that's like popular in the 50s or 60s. 60s. He became popular in the 60s.
In the 60s.
So that's it was a misleading question. I'm going to call the Rock of Ages people and punch them in the face repeatedly until they apologize profusely.
I'm going to write them a strongly worded letter.
That's exactly right.
All right.
All right. What happened now?
50s and 60s. Yeah. What song did Smokey Robinson write as a companion piece to his previous hit, My Guy?
My Girl.
I was going to say, don't think too hard about that one.
There you go. That's it.
All right.
Ooh.
Oh, now it's tied.
Yeah.
Jim, you and I are tied now.
I know.
I have three. Jim has three. Tom has two.
Hit me with some 80s, please.
Yeah. All right. 70s and 80s. You ready?
Yes.
What act was formed in 85 by the merging of two groups, Hollywood Rose and the LA Guns?
Guns and Roses.
Yeah.
Was it Enough's Enough?
It was Enough's Enough.
Wow.
Led by Sam Romakowski or whatever. What was his name?
Greg Grabowski.
That's Chip.
Teddy Bruschi.
Radoslav Gabuski. I sound like Harry Carey now trying to pronounce a name. Hazen Skabuski. I used to like when he was when he would try to pronounce Andre Galaragos.
Oh yeah,
because it would be Andres Galaragos. Hey, Steve!
The big cat.
My favorite, you know, my favorite Harry Carey moment, right?
Yeah. No, what?
Okay, so this was back when Steve Stone was in the booth with him.
Sure.
In the 80s. And he goes, hey, Steve, we got a group here from Kent State. And then they show the group. They're all wearing, like, the same shirts or they have signs or whatever. The big group outing from Kent State. And he's like, that's right, Harry. And he goes, you went to Kent State, didn't you, Steve? And then Steve goes, yes, I did, Harry. And he goes, and they didn't shoot you?
I would love to hear Stone's witty retort on that.
There was silence, and he's like, they didn't.
No,
it's 2-1 right now. Base is loaded. Can we get back to the game, Harry? And then the other Harry moment that's one of my favorites, is when Don Drysdale passed away, which was not a happy moment, but a sad moment,
right,
indeed. And so ESPN on SportsCenter, they showed a montage of how announcers, because it happened during when they announced Don Drysdale's death. It was during they were all night games,
sure,
if I'm not mistaken. So they sent out the information, and so they played a montage of how the announcers broke the news of Don Drysdale's death. So, everybody was very emotional. We'd like to pay our respect and wish our condolences and thoughts to the family of Don Drysdale, the legendary pitcher. He passed away just earlier tonight. So they go to the next announcer. And in fact, Ken Harrelson couldn't even talk. Like, he had to leave the booth.
That's
because
rare.
He was so yes, that's true. So he had to leave the booth. So you got all these guys, you know, like, oh, we would like to pass on our condolences to Don Drysdale's family. And then, some very, very sad news from Major League Baseball. Legendary pitcher Don Drysdale has passed away. We send on our thoughts and condolences to his family. They cut to Harry. Oh, no, Don Drysdale's dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who did Drysdale do Sox games with?
Drysdale?
Yeah, he did Sox games.
He did.
For like
I
one
can't
year.
Remember. Yeah.
It wasn't Pearsall, was it?
No. I don't think
that
so.
That was Harry.
No, those were legendary dimes. Pearsall and Harry Carey in the booth. I mean, I'm not even a Sox fan and I watched those games.
Drysdale did it for like one year. It was
short.
You're right. Oh, well.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. 90s, 2000.
Wait, didn't I just... Oh, no. Okay.
No, 80s. You Guns N' Roses. You had the Guns N' Roses question.
Let's do it.
And then Are we all caught up? We're all caught up, right? What was the last question you gave me?
Yeah, I just asked you, I just asked you 50s, 60s.
Is that it?
Yeah, I haven't asked you.
Oh, okay, so 70s, 80s.
You got to ask me 70s, 80s.
Okay, Jim, you have to ask him a 70s, 80s question. I'm all screwed up. Okay.
Tom, 70s, 80s within one. What year was rocker Billy Idol born?
Now, again.
Well, here's a hint, Tom.
And
don't
again,
go with the 70s.
And again,
or 80s.
Because he was popular in the 80s.
Yes.
That's why.
Yes.
Okay.
I gather that.
Okay.
Now. I'm going to say 54.
He got it.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
55. He got it within 1 year.
Yes.
Within 1 year. Yeah.
Wow. Tom needed that one.
I would have guessed 54, too.
Tom, the fact that you're still in this game, nice job.
Four for Jim, three for me, and three for Tom. All right. Now you have to ask me, what is it, 70s, 80s?
70s, 80s.
Oh, man.
It's a gimme.
All right.
What act's final concert on Thanksgiving Day was chronicled in the Martin Scorsese documentary, The Last Waltz?
That would be the band.
That would be correct.
Yes. All right. All right. Jim?
All right.
Are you
90s, ready? 2000s,
90s,
I'm ready.
2000.
Bring it.
Which church ordained singer Marilyn Manson as a priest in 94?
The Church of Satan?
Yes, that's correct. What other church would do that?
Yeah, right.
I hear he's a devout Baptist.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson. Oh, man. All right. I was telling Tom this, like my ex-girlfriend couldn't be in the same room if the Beautiful People were video was on. She'd be like, turn it off, please, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. She was totally, completely, and utterly freaked out by that video, which I can understand because it's a freaky video.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Jim, you're asking Tom.
Tom, you ready for another birthday here? 90s, 2000s?
Sure. Why the hell not?
Tom, within one, what year was the great Ricky Martin born? Do you know who Ricky Martin is, Tom?
I know who. Okay. I've lived La Vida Loca.
I've seen Gina Vianney Versace. I know who he is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so how old was he in 1999 when he got really popular? Oh, geez. I'm going to say probably a little bit younger than my mom when she was 66. I'll say 73?
Man, you almost got that. 71.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
71.
Sorry, Tom.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom.
The game's over for me.
Yeah, mathematically, you have been eliminated.
He needed that one.
You are the weakest link.
Tom needs a little Ricky Martin.
I need a little bit of that.
Who
Ricky
doesn't
Martin
need a little Ricky Martin? Have you seen that? Have you seen that? You've seen the video of Annabelle of All Going Nuts.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite things ever.
Oh,
and she didn't know. She didn't know that Ricky Martin was actually
no idea.
Like.
So funny on satellite.
It's so funny. Okay.
All right. 90s, 2000s. From their 95 hit,
yeah.
Shirley Manson of Garbage lamented that she's only happy when what happens?
Rains.
Yes.
Very good.
Oh.
When it rains.
All right. You can hear that with Alanis Morissette and Liz Phair at some point next summer. So, all right. Final question now.
All right.
Here's the deal. You and I are tied at five.
Yeah.
Tom is out mathematically, but he'll still have to answer a Beatles Elvis question. So this is it, man. Here we
all
go.
Right.
Beatles or Elvis? And the question is, what Beatles tune is partially mentioned in the 95 Bush song Glycerin?
Man. Now, this is one I should actually get. It's a Beatles question with a 90s spin on it.
I'm looking at the answer right now, and I would have never gotten this in a million years. I'm not a Bush fan, so that's probably
I know
that's probably why. So what is partially mentioned, what Beatles song, tune is partially mentioned?
Strawberry Fields.
That's exactly right.
Oh, no way.
Wow, man.
With the noose.
So it's either we end in a tie or you win.
Right.
Where is it in the song?
I have no idea.
Did you just guess? You just guessed? You guessed
admit,
Strawberry
like,
Fields
no,
and you
I
got
went,
it right?
No, I ran through the Bush lyrics in my mind and was like, oh,
maybe
yeah,
you were just
right.
Like, I know every lyric to Glycerin.
No, that was a guess. Finally got one.
Oh, all right.
Okay, this Tom, you can't win, but you may as well see if you can answer a Beatles Elvis question.
Sure.
Tom, good luck with this one. Beatles and Elvis, name the TV host whose show Elvis appeared on in 56. He was known both as Mr. Television and the Thief of Bad Gags.
Jeez.
You know the name.
You don't know this, Tom? I'm surprised.
I the 50s and 60s are not exactly my forte.
Yeah.
I feel your pain, Tom.
Did you know this one?
No.
Even with the clues?
What's the name? What's his monikers?
Mr. Television and the Thief of Bad Gags.
God, this is going to be so wrong, but Dick Clark?
No.
Milton Berle.
Mr. Television. Uncle Milty.
There you go.
All right, so here it is now. The suspense has been built up. This is more tense. This is more tense than Uncut Gems, the new Adam Sandler movie, which, by the way, is great.
I keep reading that.
And he's unbelievable in it.
That's amazing.
So if I get this right, we tie.
All right.
If I lose, you get to tow the Buick. That's your prize.
Okay.
And pay off the parking tickets.
So really, who wins in this scenario?
Yeah. Me. Well, Tom, you've already won.
Yeah.
So, all right. I got to say, I do want to say this about the card that were drawn for Tom. It was not good.
No,
and again,
Tom,
it's random.
Rough.
It's totally random, yeah. Tom. You know that.
I had a tough day at the park today.
You did.
Tough day.
You did. All right. So this is it. Beatles or Elvis, I got to answer this question correctly just to achieve a tie. Okay. Here we go. Tom, are you all right?
Yeah.
Do you have a stroke? What
I love it.
What the hell happened in there?
The suspense. Sorry. Tom.
I got very concerned about
really,
Tom for a second
really
there.
Building suspense in there.
What Beatles song, covered famously by another artist, served as the theme to TV's The Wonder Years?
Oh, I actually know this one.
Oh, I never watched the show. Buy with a little help from my friends?
Yep.
Did he want the artist?
Joe Cocker.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It was asking for the Beatles song.
I'm grasping at straws.
Yeah. No, we tied.
Yeah.
All right. So
you both get the Buick.
You pay the tickets. I'll pay the tow.
You can have it even weeks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there it is. We tied. Ended in a tie, and that's how hockey games should end. No shootout. That's how they should end. Okay. Jim, man, always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It's always a blast. Read them in Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. Coming up, you got the interview with Los Lobos.
Yes.
You've also got the interview with Kay Hanley, which is up right now.
It's coming up in a couple days.
In a couple of days. They got a Christmas album, Letters to Cleo, and, of course, Reverend Horton Heat.
And Joe Bonamassa this month. And
Wow.
Jim Blossoms in the Daily Herald in 2 weeks.
Okay. Very, very
busy
cool.
Month.
Jim, always a pleasure. We'll get you back here next month, play another round of the game and see if we can all win.
Sounds good.
Okay, see you later. Jim Ryan, everybody. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines right now because after we take this break, we're going to come back and play a round of Know Your Onion. And that's when Tom is your host, and he will read you some news headlines, and you have to guess whether they are real or from The Onion. The Onion is a satirical newspaper, and the news items are fake. But because real news is weird right now, real weird, it's hard to tell whether it's a real headline or The Onion. So the first two callers in will be our contestants. Call right now. The phone lines are open. First two people through will play. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And we'll play a round of Know Your Onion. So get in here right now if you want a chance at it. First two people through will play. 312-981-7200. Call right now.
All I want is a party doll. Come along with me when I'm feeling wild. To be ever-loving, true and fair. To run her fingers through my hair. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll.
Wildcard Wednesday. Hey, who requested that?
It's coming to us from Nick DiGilio's dad.
Oh, my dad. There you go.
A very less specific one this time.
No, he didn't get very specific on that one. Party doll right there. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Wildcard Wednesday. You may wonder Wednesday.
And there you go. Here till 4 a.m. We got an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play back, which we will do a little bit later on. But right now, we want to get into our regular feature, a little game that we put together, that Tom put together, and he's the host. It's called Know Your Onion. And again, we have our two contestants. Hang on there. We're going to play around with each. And the idea is to guess whether or not a news headline that Tom reads to you is real or from the satirical newspaper The Onion. Sometimes it's hard to tell. All right, shall we hit the thing?
It's time to Know Your Onion.
I love the band. Where'd we find that band?
I think they were with the Shy Guys when I first met them.
Oh, that's the Shy Guys.
Protégés of the Shy Guys, but they never made it to the big guys.
Yeah. El Alfredo Sauce and the Shy Guys with Nikki D on drums, named after me. Oh, I miss Craigie. So there's 60,000 people in the room, as they are, always are, and so we are ready to play a little bit of this. And again, each contestant plays one full round, and if you can guess whether a news headline is real or from The Onion, you will win. And nobody goes home empty-handed. That's the other fun part of this game. Let's say hello to Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm just happy that I get to talk to you guys and listen to you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. You know The Onion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I've listened to you so long now, I know it.
Okay. All right. All right, so you just have to guess whether these news headlines are real or from The Onion. All right, are you ready, Tom?
I'm ready.
Tom, go ahead.
Let's get a little bit of the music in here because it wouldn't be Know Your Onion without it. There we go. All right, Linda, your first headline, Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, devotes the rest of his life to raising awareness of the fact that men get UTIs as well. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That's real.
Let's see. That is false.
He was just in the hospital with the UTI.
Yes, but he has not devoted the rest of his life to raising awareness.
Okay, gotcha. So threw me there, guys.
That's from The Onion. Okay.
All right, Linda, your next headline. The Church of Atheism was denied charitable status as a court finds it isn't a religion. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to say real.
Let's see. Very good, Linda.
Nice job. All right, we are 1-1. Yeah, that's...
Is it real?
Where's that story from?
That's coming out of Canada from CTV. They applied for charitable status in Canada, and Canada said no.
Canada said no.
A.
They said no, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry, no, sorry. And then they played some Saga. And everything was good.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. Ooh, sorry. Okay.
All right, Linda, your next headline. Researchers publish a list of ways that animals can help fight climate change. Is that real or is that The Onion?
That's an onion.
Let's see.
Excellent!
Very good. Animals are just kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the
onion. That's a good one. Okay, very good. Linda, you only need one more correct, and then you are a winner.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try.
Your next headline, Linda. A little bit of controversy here for the holidays. A radio station playing the controversial Little Drummer Boy on repeat in defiance of those who claim it contains sexually predatory themes. Is that real, or is that The Onion?
That's an onion.
Let's see.
Shang-win.
Very good, Linda.
That's The Onion. Yeah.
I've never felt comfortable with that song, but...
Well, it's the song that they're obviously alluding to is yeah. Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, they've come under fire. Didn't John Legend just do a new version of it?
Yeah, they did a correct version.
Like a politically correct version of it. Who was the girl who sang with him?
Oh, God, I didn't even listen to it.
Well, Linda, you won.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Lou Malnati's gift certificate coming your way. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
Hey, you have to understand, honey, I'm not in Chicago.
Well, they freeze deliver them. They freeze them.
Oh, okay,
they deliver them.
I'm clear down here in the central part of Illinois.
Well, they'll send it right to you. Mm-hmm. You can throw it in the oven, and you got Lou Malnati's pizza.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Find one of their 40
I wish you guys to have a jolliest of Christmas,
well,
okay?
Thank you. Yeah, and don't hang up, Linda. Hang on.
Okay.
You have to hang on. Okay, so Linda got herself a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. And they do, if you're out of town, they deliver.
And it's super good.
It's fantastic. They deliver to you flash frozen. You just stick it in the oven, and then, you know, in a little while, you've got yourself a Lou Malnati's pizza.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, and every, you know who orders every year at around this time, like a ton of it?
Mm.
Spike Odell,
of course,
because he's in Tennessee. He's outside of he's outside Nashville, and so there's no Lou Malnati's in Nashville. So and he wants a taste of Chicago. He wants a taste of Lou Malnati's. So they flash freeze it and they order it, and you can use your coupon for you can use your gift certificate for that, or get it at your Lou Malnati's. Your local Lou Malnati's, which in my case is 900 feet from my front door. All right. Are we ready for round two?
Let's do it.
Okay. Linda was a winner. Let's see about Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
Not bad on this Wednesday morning. Okay. So you understand, you know the Onion, correct?
I do.
Okay. So you have to guess whether or not these news headlines that Tom reads to you are real or from The Onion. All right, you ready, Karen?
Okay. I am.
Okay, here we go.
All right. All right, Karen, your first headline. Popeyes is selling a $120,000 chicken sandwich duct taped to a canvas. Is that real or is that The Onion?
The Onion.
You think it's The Onion?
I do.
Let's see. No, that is very real. Coming to us from Fox Channel 5 in Atlanta.
So they basically took the banana thing and tied it into their chicken sandwich. Is that what they did?
Yep.
Because
oh my gosh,
Karen, you've heard about the banana thing, right? Somebody bought a banana duct taped to a wall for $120,000 as a work of art. So that's what Popeyes do.
Yeah.
By the way, I do want to mention my parents tried the Popeyes chicken sandwich. They just tried it. They said it's unbelievable.
It's really good.
Seriously, it's like worth the wait. It's worth the they said it was the best chicken sandwich they've ever had. So
I'm gonna have to go. I've only been there once or twice, and I was not thrilled with it. But there was another show on WGN that was talking about it, how good it was.
It's been insane. But now they're not going to run out. They have plenty. My parents ate one each, and they thought it was like the best chicken sandwich they've ever had. Okay, you're one for one, Karen. Good job.
All right, Karen, your next headline here. A new report says those sensors that flush public toilets were also cameras this whole time. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I hope it's The Onion.
Well, let's see. Very good.
That would be terrifying if it wasn't.
That'd be absolutely terrifying.
did Karen get the first one right or am I...
No, she got it incorrect. She
okay, so you're that. One. You're one and one, Karen.
No, she's one and one.
Okay, you're one and one. Okay.
Okay.
All right, your next headline, Karen. Someone is putting tiny cowboy hats on pigeons in Las Vegas as animal rescue works to remove them. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm assuming it's The Onion.
Let's see.
No.
No, it is incredibly
That's
real.
Unbelievable. That is,
oh my gosh.
That is hilarious. It's Vegas, man.
They are putting tiny cowboy hats.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, Karen, you got to get the next one right to be a winner.
Okay.
All right. You need two more right to win, but you'll be eliminated if you get this one wrong.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
All right, your next headline, Karen. Arizona man registers bees as emotional support animals. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I would say that's real.
Let's see.
Excellent!
Most ridiculous story. I saw it in the news. I saw it in the news, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me, right?" But it's real. It's absolutely real.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Can't
All
go
right.
anywhere.
All right, Karen. One more right. Now this comes down to this. You get this one right, you're a winner. You get this one wrong, and you don't win.
Okay.
No pressure.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
All right, Karen. Your final headline. The National Association of Corpses express outrage as still living actors are getting cadaver roles on CSI and Law and Order. Is that real or is that The Onion?
The Onion.
Let's see.
Woo! Karen, I gotta say, I can't believe it took you that long to think it was The Onion.
Well,
never...
I don't know.
It's okay.
It's all right, though, Karen.
Sure, really.
You're a winner, Karen.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got yourself
so
a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnati's.com. Hang on, Karen, okay?
Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening. Hold on. There's Karen. We got two winners. Two winners from Lou Malnati's this week, this week on Know Your Onion, and we will do it again next week. So make sure you tune in for that. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we have a Blackhawks Express to play back from last night's unfortunate game against Las Vegas. So here we go. We'll take a quick break. And then Blackhawks Express.
The Chicago Blackhawks can win a season series tonight here in Vegas as they engage the Golden Knights, a team that's had the Hawks' number since the beginning of their organization. But the Hawks beat Vegas on their last visit to Sin City, and tonight they intend to take the season set, which, with their third victory on the road in succession. The Blackhawks are looking to do that in spades here tonight. No pun intended. We're underway here in Vegas as the Hawks control. Gustafson at the Vegas line on the left wing tosses the puck into the Vegas zone. We get a whistle as offside is called here to the Hawks. Time elapsing on the power play. Down to Doc behind the net. Doc around to the left corner. Jostled by McNabb. Lost the puck up the board. Stone out of the box into the Hawks zone on a breakaway. Down the slot. He deeks and shoots. And Crawford got a piece of it, knocking up into the protective netting. And out of play it goes. Here's the draw to Crawford's left. And Taves has been tossed out of the faceoff circle. He's disgusted with the linesman on the call. David Camp will step in and take it against William Karlsson. Karlsson wins it to the high slot to Hay. To Nate Schmidt, right point, wheeling into the high slot, firing a long shot. Crawford to save the rebound. They score. It's Riley Smith. He got the puck beside the net. He took it below the goal line and worked it past the fallen Crawford for a power play goal. And the Vegas Golden Knights lead 1-0. Now Stastny center ice on the left wing in front of the benches. Winds it down behind the Hawk net. Crawford put it over to Boquist, far corner. Tried to clear it up the boards. Picked off by the Golden Knights again. Tuck to Englund, right circle, moves in, shoots and scores. Well, veteran Derek Englund, who scored his first goal against the Hawks last season, now has a pair. And he gives the Golden Knights a 2-0 lead. Picked off by Theodore, rolling down the right side, fires a shot. A blocker save made by Crawford. Here's Kubalik to a loose puck, right wing corner, Vegas zone. Pulls up from a check, put it in front. Taves, he shoots once and then twice, and four. He stops both of them. Those are the saves of the game for Marc-Andre Fleury. To bring it near the right wing corner. He carried behind the net, and it tapped off his stick to the near boards. Riley Smith. Stripped away by Strome to DeBrincat left point. Then Smith came along and took it away from DeBrincat. Short-handed over the Hawk line. Smith moves in, sent it across to Karlsson, and shoots and scores. So William Karlsson picks up his second shorthanded goal of the season. He makes it 3-0 in favor of Vegas with 44 seconds left in the second period. Now Gustafson got the puck back along the left wing boards, Vegas zone. Spins it down behind the net. Hague drove it back around up those same boards. Picked off by Gustafson. Put it in front for Kubalik. Oh, and at the last second, Stone Pope checks it away. Stone leads the rush through center ice over the Hawk line. Down the right wing of the circle. Put it in front. They score. It's off of Pacioretty's stick. And in behind Crawford. It's now 4-0 Vegas with 16:43 left in the third. England takes the puck down to the far corner. Vegas in. Put it behind the net to the near corner. Holden tried to clear it out. Now it's taken by the Golden Knights. Carrier, left wing at center ice, sends it over to the right wing corner. Hawksnell, Stastny there. Ryan Lynn Reeves, and he shoots from the right circle and scores. The fourth line is getting it done for the Golden Knights. Ryan Reeves let it rip from the right circle. It was a great one-timer. And for Ryan Reeves, that's his third goal in the season. 5-0 Vegas. Boquist got it there. To Nylander over the center ice circle to Dot. He's over the Vegas line down the right wing. He put the puck back up the boards. Boquist has to pinch from the right point. Got it to Nylander right circle. To Kubalik in the slot. And shoots, he scores! Dominik Kubalik let it rip from the high slot on a power play. And the Hawks will not allow Marc-Andre Fleury to have a shutout here tonight. With 27 seconds left in the third period, it's 5-1 Vegas.
And that's how it ended, 5-1. Oh, that was not good. So, hey, by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. The next Hawks game is against the Coyotes, and it's tomorrow night. Puck drop at 8 o'clock. The pregame at 7:30 right here on 720 WGN. What do we got coming up on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we'll have the great hot chocolate taste test with Marnie Scherr from The Takeout.
Yes.
And then also Dennis Scott from
Music
Box.
Dennis Scott, the organist from the Music Box Theater, will be joining us. Be a great show tomorrow.